Now Deontay Benjamin in the backfield, shotgun formation, two receivers on this near side, Nathaniel Monticelli right in on the right hash, and James Webster outside the numbers. Deontay Benjamin up the middle, gets about a yard before he's surrounded by the white and blue jerseys of the Comets.
Yeah, and that defensive line so far of the Comets have looked pretty strong, looked like overpowering the offensive line of Simpson just a little bit. Not too bad, but this is something, again, we looked out for in our notes and in the pregame. Jacob was just looking out for who's going to win the battle in the trenches for sure.
Now, Luke Miller off the edge on that O-line. Ramirez, Ruff, and Selly. Monticelli go to the far side, trips left side. Now trying to get set. A lot of motions going around. It looks like they lined up on the opposite sides, try to get set in motion, and Simpson decides to call a timeout there. Little 30-second timeout to get a break in the action, and already a pretty fast-paced game it feels like. Spencer, I know this is your first time going to a football game, and I remember about a year ago now with Cole McMahon, it felt like we were thrown into the deep water and told to tread water with our hands tied. So I can only imagine.
Yeah, of course. It was great, though. I love to see it. Man, I've been a football fan my whole life, and this is what I've wanted to do for a long time. So getting this opportunity and getting to call my own school is a very, very humbling experience at a place I'm all too familiar with as well. And just, like you mentioned, that first drive, Caleb Anderson and Talon Ramirez, that connection, doing a great job of just keeping it alive here on the drive. A little bit unfortunate they had to use the timeout there on the first drive in the first quarter, but this is what we wanted in the pregame as well, was early points for Simpson and to not allow as much in the first quarter. So they're burning some clock right now, and they're looking to get the ball in the end zone here. And they are in field goal range, you could argue. And we'll take a look. We'll have to see what Coach Daniel wants to do with that.
They go two receivers far side, Webster, Ramirez, Monticelli on this near side, right around the numbers. Shotgun formation. Eli Cortinas in the backfield. Now moves to the left of Anderson. Handoff goes to Cortinas. Gets inside the hash. Now toward the numbers and tackled right around the 20. Gets a gain of about one. And they keep lining up about three or four receivers. So they're a little bit more receivers than normal for the Redhawks, donning the red jerseys with the black bottoms and the white stripes on the side. Just a clean look for the first home game of this 2025 campaign.
Yeah, and I think they are just feeding off the energy of the first home game. It's been their first game at home in almost a year as well. They didn't have many home games last year either. So here on this third down, looking to just roll with that energy and see if they can get the ball in the end zone here.
Now, Talon Ramirez in motion, goes far side. Anderson looking, dropping back to pass. Throws over the middle towards Monticelli, but just goes wide left. It was intended for Monticelli. And now the kicking unit will come on for the field goal try. And well, I'll just wait to say what I was going to say, actually. I'll wait till after this. Landon Lewandowski, the long snapper. Luke Miller, the hold for the 40 of the Redhawks. Taking that football away, Braden Smith. Here's the hold up through the uprights and good! And Spencer, look at that. The Redhawks are up by three in the first quarter, and the other team has not touched the field yet. What a great, just way to kick off the game for the Redhawks. They burned about 4 minutes and 16 seconds off that clock. Time of possession, they moved the ball down the field, they ran it, they passed it, and now they're on the board, and they lead a game here in this second inaugural season in the Frontier Conference, the toughest place to play, arguably, in the NAIA.
Yeah, how about that? I think they may have listened to our pregame as well. They kind of followed every rule we had there for them. So love to see it. That's a great-looking offensive drive. Obviously stalled out a little bit. It was slow to get started, but you cannot complain. This is their first lead of the season, and maybe their first lead in a long time or ever. We'd have to – don't fact-check me on that. But we'd have to take a look. But you just love to see it. They're up 3-0, just getting the ball over here. Mayville, we'll get to see what their offense has to offer. But, yeah, solid start, and they're up 3-0 here.
And here's Braden Smith to kick it away toward the Comets. Darnell Green, the returner. He will gather it right around the 13 and take it through the Redhawk defense. Breaks one tackle, two tackles. Now far side, a block on the kicker. And finally taken down on the 45-yard line. He gets across the 50. Crazy amount of yardage there, but it's what we talked about. A very fast-paced team. They love to run the ball. They have the speed to do it.
And yeah,
it was.
Yeah, and Darnell Green there, as I said, just a really pacey. Got up there quick, and this is something we saw a lot last year, and I think this is what happened a lot against Southern Oregon as well in the opener. Obviously, that's a really good team. But the special teams is a little bit of a struggle just trying to bring down these kick returners, which is obviously, it's going to be, or you're doing yourself the opposite of a favor, rather, when you're putting the team, or when the offense is getting the ball in your territory in the other team's side of the field. So not what they're looking for, of course, and it looks like we'll get it.
And snap under center for Aiden Morrison.
The ball carrier.
It looks like the fullback there might have gone the wrong way on that one, or it was supposed to be some sort of a trick play turned into a QB draw, but they end up fighting for a few yards. Just a little miscommunication there on the first play of offense for Mayville.
Gain of three on the play. Second down.
Yeah, gain of three on the play for Matthew Donovan, who was under center. Not something we've seen a lot, really, I don't think at all. Under center again, quarterback keeper runs outside toward the, gets outside the hash marks inside the numbers for a gain of about five.
Yeah, and I know this might sound crazy, Jacob, but this team that Simpson is playing actually throws the ball even less than Simpson themselves. Mayville has been, they have over 1,000 rushing yards just in this, or over 500 rushing yards, rather, sorry, just in these first three games.
And the Redhawks get the Comets to jump off sides. They brought the whole defensive formation in. There's about four linebackers in the box and all the corners as well. And they all got up on the line and got the offense to jump. And now the flag being thrown, the refs are going to huddle up and chat things over. Should be a five-yard penalty against the Comets. They did jump off sides, and those penalty yards for the Comets, just 85.67 penalty yards a game. And it's actually going to be on the Redhawks right there. Number 10 of the Redhawks, Casey Mina, with the penalty flag. And now both coaches for the Redhawks are going to chat things over. Ball in the 31, first and 10, new set of downs after the penalty flag.
And I was fooled up here in the booth, too. I definitely thought the Comets moved early on their O-line, but it looks like it's opposite. Maybe a flinch from number 10, as you mentioned, causing the movement.
Now another quarterback keeper, and sniffing it out there is number 44, Joshua De La Cruz.
Donovan, the ball carrier.
Tackled for a loss of one, I believe. And that's something you want to see from the defense, sniffing out that quarterback keeper. They love to run it a lot. Matthew Donovan is one of their leading rushers on the team.
No gain on the play. Second down.
He's, yeah, of course.
100 yards and 12 attempts. Averages 3.7. And he also has two TDs, but also 83 is his longest run. Which, I mean, 83 yards from a quarterback is the fact that he did not get chased down with that much fairway to work with. Here's a three-man rush, three in the box. The whole secondary playing really low. Now a fake pitch looking toward the end zone. Wide open is the number two. That's none other than Kelby Azure, the tight end. Had me thrown off on my call sheet. I thought that was a receiver with a... He does not look like a tight end from up here. I'll put it that way, Spencer.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a tall guy, but not so big. But he was able to get that throw over the top. The play action there, and as you mentioned, all the homework we did, you know these teams did five times that amount preparing for this tonight's game. So just that play action really fooling the Simpson defense. They're expecting run. That's all they've seen from this team in their first three games. So play action is going to be a go-to here for Mayville tonight.
Yeah, play action and fake pitch as the PAT is good. 7-3, the Comets lead, with 8:45 left in the first quarter. And, I mean, they got him on the... It was a triple option. It's a complicated play for defenses to dissect, but the fake handoff right in the front, the read option there, and then the fake pitch to the right, and just easy pass over the middle where running a quick slant was Kelby Azure, and the secondary was playing so low that there was not quite really enough time to chase down Azure, which the secondary was ready to for the Redhawks. I believe it was Shaquille Brookins and Charlie Walden giving chase. But nonetheless, both teams have scored tonight, and we're not even really halfway done with the first quarter. So a solid day already from Bill Johnson Community Stadium out here as the sun has set and the lights have taken full effect.
Yeah, and everyone likes a shootout. Of course, as you mentioned, Jacob, just 10 points on the first two drives. Can't get much better than that. Obviously, Simpson stalled out a little bit in their attacking half of the field. But can't complain with some points on the board here early. Everyone loves a shootout. And just to touch on that last drive, some people might be watching and be like, how is he that open? The number two, the wide receiver, or the tight end, rather, for Mayville. A big reason is just, as I mentioned, that run game. You know, the film that Simpson's been watching, that play action, the Mayville actually has four different rushers that have gone for over 100 yards in the first three games. Obviously, aggregate altogether, all three games, they have over 100 rushing yards, four different players, and multiple touchdowns through them all, about four touchdowns. So it's just something you love to see. Mayville just really working with it, and Simpson, obviously, they looked solid, but just, again, starting with that special teams, getting the ball started at the 40 for the quarterback and Mayville offense, that's just too easy, obviously, on the special team side, which is something, although it doesn't sound that important, it will win or lose you a game easily and quickly.
I agree. And I mean, talk about sharing the love and sharing the rock right there. Four guys just able to move the ball that well. I mean, 30 attempts for Olsen, 22 for Nuapa, Peyton McGregor 6, Isaiah Smith 17, and Darnell Green 12. And they all have a solid amount of yardage underneath their belt.
Yeah, not to mention Donovan Matthew with 27 rushes of his own at quarterback.
Kicked away to Bush, it's received high, takes across the 10, 15, 20, right to the 25, gets through to the 30, where he's brought down right around the 32. Chris Bush running it out all the way from basically the goal line before he was tackled by number 37 of the Comets. And now the Red Hawk offense will go out there, led by John Romero. After Anderson got the first drive, Romero will get the second. We'll see how efficiency plays into this. And, I mean, those passes come in from John Romero. They come straight and they come really fast right to the receiver's hands. And they're on the money every time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Caleb Anderson floats it a little bit more like we talked about last drive. Here's a handoff. Quarterback keeper, actually. Romero gets about five, maybe four. Some extracurricular activities between 55
tackle by number zero,
Kevin of the Red Hawks. That is Parker Valderrama. He shoved number three of the Comets, Anthony Johnson, to the ground back around the 45-yard line. The ball's at the 33. Man, those hash marks throw me off. The pitch on a soccer field does not have hash marks like that.
Yeah.
Ezekiel Anderson lined up to the left of Romero. Shotgun formation, three receivers far side. Webster, Ramirez, and now Monticelli in motion toward that far side. Romero roll out toward his left, throws crossbody toward the one of Talon Ramirez, who gets it right around the 46. A toe tapper and gets out of bounds to get that first down and move the chains.
Yeah, and as you mentioned on the run, you mentioned that in the pregame as well. It looks like our homework is paying off as well. You said you had breakfast with John Romero this morning, and you were able to find out they're splitting reps and stuff like that on the drive. So the more you know, it's obviously helping us prepare, but it looks great as well. So far, splitting the reps has looked well. Rolling out, as you mentioned, that throw. And Talon Romero is just such a big target with his size and his frame, so easy.
And it looked like a design rollout. Shotgun formation again. Ezekiel Anderson to the left. Ramirez in motion, goes far side. Romero looking to pass, dumps it off a little bit high. And kind of a late hit. That pass to Trevor Thomas was just a bit high. Romero was in the face of a white and blue jersey, tried to get rid of it quick. And on that catch by Talon Ramirez as well. The throw from Romero, he was rolling out to his left. Looked like a designed rollout. If I know anything about this Red Hawk offense, at least, that's something they do call a lot. And his ability to be moving to his left, but then turn back with his hips, flare his hips toward Talon Ramirez, and throw off one leg toward him is just, I mean, that's the moves of a shortstop. As this one's taken up by Ezekiel Anderson, gets through three or four tackles, gets about a gain of eight.
Ezekiel Anderson, the ball carrier.
Churning those legs, Ezekiel Anderson, the brother of Caleb Anderson. Both Caleb and Ezekiel from my hometown, American Canyon, California. Love, absolutely love having them play here. Super fun to get a little taste of home, because they just from the North Bay as well. So now Romero checks out for Caleb Anderson. Luke Miller to the right, playing a little bit of a fullback position. Ezekiel Anderson behind him. Trevor Thomas stacked behind that offensive line. Now a quarterback keeper, a couple of blocks. Anderson gets through for the first down. Designed quarterback keeper. Gets a couple of blocks. Flags fly. The 65 of Daniel Ibarra was just kind of not sure which comet it was, but there's been some pushing and shoving after some plays already.
Yeah, and like I said, the Battle of the Trenches is going to be a big factor in today's game with these two ground and pound teams. A lot of rushes coming from both of these sides so far in their first few games. So this is to be expected, but obviously, we mentioned in pregame as well, you don't want to beat yourself or take yourself out of the game just with penalties and silly mistakes, which happens at any level.
The first down, dead ball, personal foul, 65, offense.
And they'll be lucky that it's a dead ball foul there, so they will get their first down, but they're actually moving backwards. So
first down in a bus ride now. They're at the 42.
So I think there it'll be a
first and ten.
Yeah, so it'll be a first and ten because after the play, they got the first down, and then after the play, there was some unnecessary roughness, stuff like that. So they're going to move backwards on the field, but still be first down and ten because they did gain the first down on that one.
Five-man rush, and looks like they're going to blitz like two right here for the Comets. No handoff from Romero, throwing over the middle to James Webster. Almost got free, but that full extension of that 6'4 frame comes just short of a first down.
Yeah, it's a great job. It's a good look. Romero back in there just firing it into James Webster. As you mentioned, another guy with a big frame on him, a tall guy, good receiver. We saw him out down on the field. He looks ready to go tonight. And I would argue, it looks like they're giving him like second and three or four, so he must have been down a little bit shorter than I thought.
Yeah, the same goes for me. I thought he got way more shotgun formation again. Running back to the left of Romero. That's Ezekiel Anderson. Handoff goes to Ezekiel Anderson up the middle. He'll get the first down right around the 48. The Comets 48 to get the first down. I'll spot it at the 49. I take that back.
Yeah, and this has been promising so far. Both the run and pass game so far for Simpson has looked well. Looked pretty good as John Romero still staying in there. The O-line looks better than the first drive as well. So just this is promising stuff here from Simpson. They're working the ball down the field. Look a lot more settled into the game so far on the second drive.
Ball at the 47, first and 10. Romero dropping back to pass. Oh, and it goes right to Monticelli. Romero had two players right in his face. Had to get rid of it quick. Looked like Selly was not quite ready for it. Went off of his left shoulder as he was moving to his right. It's going to be an incomplete pass. Second and 10 from the 47, though. 5 minutes and 5 seconds left to go in this first quarter.
Yeah, and it's a great job from Romero there, reading the blitz. He saw the linebackers stepping in, making their way from the corner as well. Able to fire that one over the cross, like a mesh route kind of thing, just right over the top of the field, right down the middle. But Monticelli a little bit behind him maybe, but it does hit him in the hands, one he should have caught for sure.
Now handoff goes to Ezekiel Anderson, gets a couple blocks outside towards the numbers. 40, 35, 30. Now to the 10, the 5, he's going to get in there for a... Is he short? He's called out short, just out of bounds. Ezekiel Anderson was at the 25, the 20, dodged the tackle, got to the 15, the 10, right around the 5. He was pushed out of bounds, full extension, almost got it inside the pylon. Just short of getting in the end zone. Oh my goodness, you cannot get closer than that.
Man, I really wish the refs gave us that one, Jacob. That would have been a sick house call from 50 yards out. The whole second half of the field runs way in, and this place would have been electric. And still an amazing run there from Ezekiel Anderson. Don't want to take that away from him. Absolutely incredible. But now they got to worry about punching this one in for six. And in my opinion, this is four down territory, to say the least. They got four tries to run this ball in the end zone.
Ball at the 2. Shotgun formation. Ezekiel Anderson is going to be the running back, and now pausing the action. So everyone here got amped up. Now the Zebras are going to have a little conference. I believe it's going to be on where to spot the ball, if I had to guess. And I mean, what a breakaway from Ezekiel Anderson, although that's technically soccer terms, but whatever. I get to mix my sports metaphors because that's what I do. But he broke probably four or five tackles, got outside toward the numbers, and then somehow was just not tackled at all. And now the referee's still chatting things over. Huge break in the action here, Spencer.
Yeah, I think they're trying to figure out exactly where he went out as well, or maybe the clock running, anything like that. Maybe they said he was out of bounds or he was tackled short. Hard to say exactly what happened.
It might have been because the clock was running, because he was out of bounds. That is, he was not tackled, I don't believe. So they're going to spot the ball. Still at the 2. First and 10. This is Ezekiel Anderson's chance to put it in the end zone here with a second try. Receiver in motion. That's Selly. Turn and burn. Goes back. Shotgun formation. Handoff goes to Ezekiel Anderson. Tucks it and gets across the goal line. Ezekiel Anderson. Touchdown. Red Hawks. There it is. The first one at home on this 2025 campaign. Spencer, how does it feel to be here for this?
Dude, it feels great. Like, as I mentioned, I'm just happy to be here, but we were hoping to see a really exciting game, and so far it's been all fireworks, and Simpson being on the right end of those fireworks just as much so far. So you love to see it. We'll make sure they can kick this PAT through the uprights, and it would give them a 14-10 lead, or a 10-7 lead, rather, sorry.
Miller with the hold, Lewandowski the snap. Kicked up and through the uprights. The PAT is good from Braden Smith. Red Hawks back up by 3 now with a 10-7 score with 4:14 left in this first quarter. And man, is football fun.
Yeah, and that was an Ezekiel Anderson drive, as you mentioned, kind of like Mayville. This Simpson team has a lot of players who could run the ball, and they just kept on going there. Ezekiel Anderson doesn't get as many reps as maybe some other running backs, other rushers in this Simpson offense, but taking that one all the way himself from the 50 to the end zone just in 2 plays.
And that is a guy who, I mean, he's been at good programs before. Ezekiel Anderson, he was here last year. He ran the ball a lot last year, him and his brother Caleb Anderson. And man, that's just great to see for a kid from ACHS. I've had plenty of conversations with both Zeke and Caleb. Caleb was part of the original 60, along with Luke Miller, who gave the pregame hype speech earlier before the Redhawks took the field, and he was fired up. I'm telling you, Spencer, the Redhawks want this one bad. They've had it circled on the schedule. I've heard it from players, and I've heard it from coaches. This is one of the first games on the schedule that they feel like they can really go out here and really win. The defense needs to step it up because the offense is really moving that ball as this kick is taken out toward the 30. Now the 40. It's nothing but the kicker. 50. Slowed down and absolutely smashed out of bounds. I believe that is the 33 of the Redhawks.
Yeah, but again, unfortunately, just not giving the defense much to work with. The special teams here, the offense is already pushing field goal ranges. We saw the kicker for Mayville was hitting them from far in pregame in the warm-ups. Of course, he was hitting from around 50, from around the 40-yard line, of course. So they're already pushing field goal range. If they can pick up a first down, they can at least give them a shot to go out there and try. So just the special teams needing to set the defense up for success there.
I believe that was Arturo Alejandrez, number 33 for the Redhawks, with the tackle out of bounds. Yeah, I agree, Spencer. Just need to put more pressure on this offense. They're working from the 45, handoff straight up the middle, brought down around the 42 by the Redhawks. Number 10, Casey Mina with the tackle.
And that right there is something I love to see, a fullback back in the formation. Just some old-school football right there, running the ball right up the gut.
Some old-school football indeed. They do not have a running back on their 2-deep. It is 2 fullbacks and 4 slot receivers. And their quarterback is also under center. Very much old-school football right here from the Comets. Now handoff goes again right back to, believe that is number 4.
Olsen, the ball carrier.
Jake Simmers.
Tackle made by number 2, Lewis Sanders. Number 5, Caleb Utter.
Caleb Utter with the tackle.
That's good for a Comets first down.
That is good for a first down of the Comets. They move the chains. They just keep running the same formation as well, and it's worked for them. They've been able to move the ball, but that defense is slowly getting sharper and sharper. In motion, quarterback, not a quarterback keeper. They keep fooling me with that as well. And from up here, our view is a little bit more, a little bit easier to get tricked with the ability to find the ball, but taken right up the middle again on the play action.
Yeah, for sure, and definitely not trying to fool Simpson as much with these tricks. Obviously, they have a couple read options, and the quarterback's been handing them off. Donovan has quite often, but the formation, as you mentioned, they're lined up the same way. They got that fullback back there a few yards out in a lineman-type position, just ready to run it right up the gut and just overpower this Redhawks defense.
This one goes outside to Darnell Green, who gets outside the numbers, but then pushed back by the Redhawk defense. Back toward the line of scrimmage. He was in motion on the play. The quarterback, Donovan, from under center, turned around, handed it off to him, got toward the numbers, but then was stuffed by the Red Sea, if you will. The other Red Sea, not the fan section, but the defense.
Yeah, you just love to see players swarming the ball like that on the defensive side. I see clips all the time of defenses who are not necessarily as big or as good just all coming together and really, if it takes six to bring one guy down, that's what they'll do, whatever it takes, you know.
Third and five, a little bit of a cover three, four in the box. Donovan switch around, double reverse, sniffed out by 4-5 Red Ox, led by Joshua De La Cruz, tackled for a loss there. What a stop by the defense. De La Cruz with an extra little stomp after the play as well. It'll now be 4th and 8.
And it looks like the offense is going to stay on the field here. They might be going.
And they have the ability to really get some yardage on those runs.
But now Simpson definitely has to worry about the throw as well, but you don't want to lay off because they've played so good to get in this situation. You don't want to lay off the run game, which has helped their defensive line, obviously. So you wonder if they're going to bring some pressure here.
Three-man rush, screen the box. Everyone else back in like a cover three, looking toward the end zone. The pass is going to go up and almost picked off by the Redhawks, number 2, Louis Sanders, who also just happens to be the punter, almost caught it, ends up losing it. That will be a turnover on downs, and the Redhawks will get the rock.
Yeah, and Sanders getting fingertips on that one. It's a great job dropping into coverage for the Redhawks there. But just fingertips, but at the same time, it's almost better he didn't catch that one because he would have had to bring that out of the end zone and get back to the 40-yard line or so, or the 35-yard line if he wanted to be positive yards. So kind of better just to bat that one down, whether he intended to or not. I think it's best-case scenario so far for Simpson.
I was going to say, whether or not intentional, it is actually good that he did not bat it, or that he quote-unquote batted it down. He should have batted it down, but in the heat of the moment, you want the pick, you want the interception. That would have been the first one on the year for the Redhawks defense. But
yeah.
You'll take that.
Yeah, and it would be I would have a hard time. I'd say I never played football, organized football in my life, but I would have a hard time not getting that interception stat. I don't care if it was 4th and 30. I'm probably going to catch that ball as well. So love the effort.
I'd absolutely agree on that. As it will be Caleb Anderson's drive. He's over there in the huddle with Coach Daniel and the whole offense, talking things over. As they get ready to take the field, 57.2 left here in this first quarter.
Yeah, and going back to pregame, Jacob, just imagine sitting here at the end of the first quarter after all we said in pregame, just saying Simpson has a chance to go up 2 scores right now just before the first quarter even ends. It's pretty incredible. So I think the most important thing for Caleb Anderson and the Redhawks to do here is just protect the ball, keep the lead, go down the field, and at least try to make something happen. A 3-and-out here will really kill all the momentum you started off of a great touchdown from Ezekiel Anderson, and then a great defensive stand from this Redhawk defense as well. So just get the ball moving down the field and make something positive, you know.
And don't rush it. You're up by 3, 57.2 left. You'll have that designed break in 57 seconds. Where there's just a break in between quarters, so why not work it slow? They're going to have 3 receivers on this near side. The 26 of Eli Cortinas. Shotgun formation for Anderson. Ramirez, Monticelli, and Webster. Inside the hash, on the hash, and then outside the numbers. Designed pitch outside to Cortinas. Gets outside the numbers and pushed out of bounds. Gets a gain of about 3 or 4 and a flag on the play.
Yeah, it looks like that'll be on the line again. Don't know if it was O-line or D-line, but one of the Mayville Comets were picking themselves up on the off the ground. So I'm assuming that's going to be on the left tackle.
We'll see what the call is here from the officials. 50.4 left after Cortinas was pushed out of bounds.
Necessary roughness, 64, Simpson.
And that's going to be Carson Seaman with the unnecessary roughness that will send the Redhawks back a handful of yards.
Yeah, it's tough to get away with unnecessary roughness when it's after the play and you see just kind of toppling a player on the line, obviously. Maybe some mind games are going on, but it's nothing malicious, of course. Just trying to, it's the energy, it's the momentum, it's the we're 0-12, we need to go win a game kind of mentality that they have. So.
After the penalty, it's second down and 22.
Now second and 22, thank you to the PA system here, the PA address. Shotgun formation, 2 receivers far side, 2 on this near side. They're lined up on the right hash. Cortinas to the right of Anderson. Ramirez goes in motion. Roll out toward the right. Anderson looking to pass. He's going to have to hold up now. He's just going to throw it right to the hands of number 29 for
number one,
the Comets. Not sure who that was, who had it in their hands and dropped it. It was intended for Talon Ramirez. That's Dominic Catano, who was very upset with himself that he did not catch that. It was an absolute bullet from Anderson, but it was intended for Ramirez.
Yeah, heart skipped the beat right there on that one. I thought we were going to maybe see a house call off of an interception. Just a mental mistake there, definitely one you want to throw away. But
now third and 22 from the Redhawks' own 21. Shotgun formation again, two receivers near side. Cortinas to the right of Anderson. Here's a snap. Looking to pass. It's going to go to Monticelli. Gets to the 25, the 30. Puts on a juke. Spin move. 30. And tackled right around the 34. Monticelli with the spin move. Put him in the wash.
Yeah, shifty guy. But unfortunately, that penalty is kind of going to nullify everything that he did just to get back to the line of scrimmage, essentially. So a first down penalty, a 15-yard penalty, that is. And losing the down, so just definitely a tough penalty, and that's what we were talking about in pregame as well, something you don't want to see, just kind of shooting yourself in the foot, if you will.
And at the end of the first quarter, the Redhawks are up by a score of 10-7. After this short break, we'll be right back. This is Jacob Green and Spencer Schlange with the Redhawks Sports Network and KCNR Shasta Redding, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, or online at KCNR1460.com. We'll be right back with the second quarter after this.
You can go anywhere and get a degree, but where are you going to get the degree and have a little bit of a more meaningful impact in your life?
Everyone's like so outgoing and wants to know each other and wants to get together and hang out.
There's so much to do. You can go hike or you can go down to the lake.
Never been fishing before. Get it up here. Snowboarding. I mean, everything I've done with this community and the people has just been super fun.
The professors actually know your name. It's awesome. They want people to be here and they want people to succeed. You're never alone. Like, there's always resources and people to help you.
This will bring power into this.
Something that made me want to come to Simpson was hearing about how people have grown their faith with God.
There's so much the school has to offer, whether that be, like, spiritually, academically, sports. Like, it's just good all around. And it's great people, great mentors, great professors, coaches, you name it.
Experience. Learn. Grow.
And impact at Simpson University.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree,
and lower back to Bill Johnson Community Stadium here in Palisadro, California. I'm Jacob Green, joined by Spencer Schlange.
It's great to have you with us here
on a Saturday night under the lights. The Redhawks Sports Network and KCNR Shasta Redding will be the Redhawks football on this fourth down, fourth and 10, after the screen pass to Monticelli to get back to the line of scrimmage, and now kicking it away via the punt for the Redhawks will be Louis Sanders, who also plays safety.
Yeah, and this could be a very important play yet again, just the special teams. You got to bring them down in their own territory, obviously, see if Sanders can get his leg behind this one and really pin them deep.
Needs to air it out and get it up. Darnell Green back to receive it. Isaiah Smith, rather, back to receive it.
Yeah, both definitely some shifty players back there looking to make a return, do some damage.
This one's tumbling over, end over end. Landon Lewandowski was one of the first ones down there. The long snapper is a cluster of Redhawks surround it near the 30, where they will touch it and pin the Comets down. A solid punt. And Isaiah Smith not able to receive it and run it out at all, which is great. Great punt from Louis Sanders.
Yeah, not any incredible distance, but did exactly what it needed to do. Just pin them deep a little bit, just like if they kicked it through the back of the end zone around the 30-yard line, if it was a kickoff, of course. But, yeah, can't complain there. Sometimes the best thing you can do is just keep the ball out of the hands of the returner.
Yeah, in that case, let the defense, let the special teams work. That's exactly what happened. Now again, Comets with the ball on their 30. full blitz from the Redhawks. Matthew Donovan getting outside but brought down for a gain of five right at the 35. Donovan, again, just a designed rush. And you talked about it, Spencer. There is actually a team that runs the ball more than the Redhawks do.
Yeah, absolutely. And you could just see in the formation. I mean, I've never played football, as I mentioned earlier, but I love the game, and I watch it every Sunday, of course. But just walking out here and looking at the line of scrimmage, you can tell when it's going to be a run or it's at least designed to look like a run. Just no receivers out wide, just lining up, stacking the line, and looking to make the ball push forward with power.
Now in motion, handoff toward the, given to the fullback, the number 22.
Wayne Smith, the ball carrier.
For the Comets.
Tackle made by number 10, Casey Minow.
Casey Minow with the tackle again.
Third down and three.
Yeah, and a good thing about this team being a run-heavy offense, Mayville, of course, is Simpson gets themselves, if they play it right and play it smart and use their strengths, they can get themselves in a lot of third down situations. So right here, another chance to get the ball back, especially if they can push Mayville backwards, which you haven't seen yet.
Now this one taken up the middle.
Matthew Donovan
gets the first down and move the chains.
Yeah, that was a very nice play, kind of a spin-off. That makes me think that first play that I said the fullback went the wrong way makes me think I was incorrect, and I was just looking the wrong way. I'm just faking it to the fullback one way and kind of spinning off and going the other direction. So that's something you love to see. Good play call and a great play design in general.
To be fair, you do play a different kind of football.
Of course, so of course.
Here comes this triple offense formation again. Back to pass is Donovan looking toward the 11, just a bit beyond the reach, and a flag on the play. And here is the X factor in this ball game: penalty yards.
Of course, and I think watching a lot of college football on Saturdays too, you see anytime a ball is thrown deep, you think, oh, where's the flag? Something's going to happen. Even if it's not even near the play, there's going to be a flag in the secondary somewhere when that ball is thrown over 20, 30 yards.
Holding on defense of number 11, Shaquille Brookins, for the Redhawks. So that will move the chains automatically. It was prior to the play, which is pretty rare.
Yeah, it looked like they said, holding prior to the throw. So maybe just holding onto a receiver past that 5-yard limit, which is obviously not as bad as defensive pass interference, but it's essentially the same thing. Just contact to the receiver when it's not allowed.
Donovan hands it off. It goes right up the middle. It's about a yard there. That was at the bottom of the dog pile. Number 42, Landon Olson, the ball carrier.
It looks like an O-lineman of Mayville, a little shaken up. Looks like he's going to try to play through it, but messing with that shoulder, kind of wincing a little bit. Not what you'd like to see.
Especially from a very large O-line that's really good at the protection and blocking aspect of the game. As the play gets called in for the Comets, they get ready to get set. One receiver on this near side. They've now gotten into Redhawk territory at the 47. 12 minutes left to play in the second quarter. Matthew Donovan, quarterback keeper, almost got demolished there, then pitched back toward the four of Jake Simmers, who takes it out toward the numbers, tackled right around the 35. I'm not sure which Redhawk that was all over that, but as Matthew Donovan was getting tackled, he pitched it back in a very acrobatic way toward Jake Simmers. What a great play by Donovan.
Yeah, it's just the read option right there. He saw there was plenty to read right there, just a linebacker coming right out in full speed. I think he left his feet before he even got to him, so he had to pitch that or he was going to be sacked for a big loss. And then, yeah, as you mentioned, Jack Simmers just making his way, making it look easy. Big guy running through.
And now, right up the middle on the hashes, is tackled around the 28. Andre Nice with the tackle. And it's working for the Comets to just run that football into the ground.
Yeah, just nothing. They're not getting big plays by the bunch, but they're just adding up these little small 5-yard plays, and that's all you need to get a first down. You need 4 yards of play, and you're going to be getting in the end zone every single time.
And they do average a lot of yards a game. Now a pitch back toward the 11 of Isaiah Smith, gets outside, tackled right around the 10.
tackle made by number 10, Casey Mina, and number 11, Shaquille Brookins.
Casey Mina and Shaquille Brookins again, putting a stop to it on the breakaway.
Yeah, and I did notice that as well. I was seeing, when I was putting down the rushing leaders, I saw Isaiah Smith in there, and I was like, they must run a lot of jet sweeps and a little getting wide receivers in the slot and having them cut across the field in motion. And that's something you're excited to see as well, of course. Just love seeing receivers getting involved in the running game, like Deebo Samuel style a little bit, and love to see it. And Isaiah Smith, obviously, very, very athletic just from what I've seen so far. And I'm sure that will not be the last time we see that tonight.
Definitely not. Under center again, shotgun formation goes to the fullback on the play, Landon Olson, who takes up the middle but is stuffed.
Emory Norcross on the tackle.
Emory Norcross with the tackle for the Redhawks. As darkness has fully fallen now at Bill Johnson Community Stadium.
Yeah, you know, Jacob, I'm starting to think that is kind of the coaching philosophy at Mayville State University is, if running up the middle doesn't work, let's run it outside, you know, get a speedy guy in the backfield and let him run outside instead of trying to throw the ball, which a lot of people just abandon the run. It looks like Mayville is sticking to it.
Now the whole Redhawk line steps up, and flags will fly.
Penalty marker down on the plate.
It's got to be a false start on the Comets. I see a handful of Redhawk players motioning that as the Comets look back a little bit. Start to move back, rather.
False start, number four.
There it is. False start on Jake Simmers of the Comets. That will push them back, and the Redhawks now a little bit more breathing room between the line of scrimmage and their goal line that they're trying to keep these Comets out of and maintain their 10-7 lead here with 9:27 left in the second quarter.
Yeah, and finally, evening out, that penalty differential so far. I wish we had one of the score bugs like they do on those in the NFL games showing the penalties and yards. That would be very beneficial and show why the game's where it's at right now.
That would be great. Donovan rolling out, looking toward the end zone, lofts it high, but just out of reach and out of bounds for the number two of the Comets.
Third down and 12.
Not even sure who number two is. Toby Azure, there it is again. He was the receiver on that previous touchdown from the Comets. He was covered by, I believe that was Shaquille Brookins for the Redhawks defense. The safety. Now taken outside again on the pitch. Number four, Jake Simmers gets chased out of bounds. Now some pushing and shoving going on after the play.
That's good. We're going to see fourth down here again for Sims. They have a chance to make a stand. It looks like they are going to run the kicking team out here and just try to level this game up, which I'm sure Simpson isn't opposed to, but I think they would have loved the opportunity to get another fourth down stop in the end zone.
And in that case, I mean, if you hold them to it, you get the ball back and no points on the board. It's not a tie game. That's a great win-win situation, but now they just have to block this field goal to maintain the lead.
Yeah, high risk, high reward for sure.
Could end up back in an even ball game here. It's a snap as kick is up and will miss. Very surprising there. And a lot of celebrating from the special teams unit as well. Wide left.
And that's something we don't see too often from that range. Obviously, we saw on the kicker, he was knocking him down from way further than that, twice as far. Must have just pulled it a little bit, and maybe the D-line on that special teams was getting in through that offensive line and getting their hands in the way and just kind of messing with the kicker's head or his field of vision as well, just trying to keep that plant foot straight and driving the ball right through the posts. But
I think that was also Shaquille Brookins who stepped up to the line and tried to bust a move through. Number 11 for the Redhawks, look like. Not quite sure exactly. I mean, it's really hard to see from our angle when they're down to either goal line. But in that case, just putting the pressure on the kicker.
Yeah, and that was kicker Bryson Heck, who does have a leg on him from what we saw in the pregame, but that one's just going to miss a little bit left. And you see Coach Sean Daniels kind of telling his guys to stay focused, stay locked in here. We've been talking up to the DC, the coordinators, and letting them know what's going on, what the plan is.
And it's a 10-7 ball game now. Redhawks maintaining the 3-point lead after the missed field goal try. from the Comets, 10-7 with 8:31 left here in the second quarter.
And this is just another opportunity, as I mentioned earlier, Jacob, for them to go up two possessions, which I don't think we've ever seen for Simpson so far. So that'll be great to see them up two scores, as far as their varsity team goes, of course. We saw their JV team put on a great performance a couple weeks ago and got the job done. And I actually think a couple of the JV guys, after that performance, were called up to play tonight as well, which is something you love to see as well.
Yeah, Deontay Benjamin. Luke Miller played in that JV game, but he's playing tonight. He's been a registered varsity member, if you will. As the offense is getting ready to go out there now, they're still huddled around, getting some water in. It will be first and 10 from the Redhawks' own 20. John Romero will be the quarterback. Again, swapping drives with Caleb Anderson. But now, it's been opposite of what we've seen previously, where Romero will come into the game on third or fourth down to throw the ball. In this case, it's been opposite with the sharing, the splitting of drives rather than the sharing. So Anderson came in and checked in for a couple of plays, but it was to run.
Yeah, and I think it's just, you know, I mean, you look at the stats as well. I mean, Romero is a bigger guy. You think he'd be able to, or like bulkier guy rather, and you think he'd be able to really move that line more, but Caleb Anderson looks to be pretty shifty, and he's able to find that gap and shoot it well. He's ran the ball well, and I think he takes after his brother as well.
And both quarterbacks play really well, throw really well on the run, which, I mean, that's what you need from your quarterbacks. They don't have a lot of pass protection. I believe the break in the action was with our offensive coordinator, Coach Garrett Sandow, coming up to the Crow's Nest up here, which is now unofficially part of the Redhawks Sports Network booth. But the alternate location off campus, not the one in the James M. Grant Center there for basketball, volleyball, and every other indoor sport at Simpson, but the one out here at Foothill High School in Palisadro, California. As the offense goes out there, they're going to send one receiver far side, that's Webster, and then Ramirez and Monticelli. Selly on the numbers, and Ramirez right on that hash on this near side. Romero's shotgun formation. The 21 of Chris Bush behind him. They're lined up on the far side hash. Now Bush moves to his right. Handoff goes to Romero. Taken outside by Bush. Breaks one tackle, two tackle, and tackled right around. And the ball popped out. But thankfully, Chris Bush was tackled, and the whistle is blown at the 25 as we have a Comet down on the play. Does not look good for him. Anytime those feet are stomping down on the ground like that when you're laying on your back, just not good. Probably looks like something on his shoulder.
And we'll see if we can get a number to you guys as soon as possible. Hard to say, see if he gets turned over here.
We'll have a little break in the action. Both teams will collectively go to their sidelines with 8:21 left in the second quarter. And a 10-7 ball game as number 19 of the Comets is helped off the field.
Yeah, it looks like it'll be Jaden Hakey.
He looks upset that he's having to come out of the ball game as well. He throws his helmet down there on that far sideline. Now second and six from the Redhawks, 24. Ramirez on this near side, lined up at the numbers. Ezekiel Anderson in the backfield. Shotgun formation for Romero. Two receivers far side, Selly and Webster at the hash and the numbers, respectively. Here's a snap. Handoff goes to Bush up the middle. And it's about a yard or two.
Tackled by number zero, Devin Woods.
Now it's going to be a big third down here for Simpson. See if they can get the chains moving, which we haven't seen since the first quarter, of course. This is their first touch of the ball in the second quarter, but that last drive in the first, that headed into the second, they also couldn't get anything going with penalties and stuff like that. Third and four, so it's kind of anything they want. It is a long 4 yards to run, but a dump-off pass, or you can choose to run it as well, of course.
Ezekiel Anderson was the ball carrier there. Shotgun formation again. Romero back to pass, two-step hitch, looking. Now he's going to run up into the pocket, gets the first down, makes a couple moves, and slides down around the 37-yard line. Romero with the quarterback keeper had plenty of time to throw. That's something we have not seen a lot. He had about at least 3 to 4 seconds before that pocket collapsed. That's a huge win already for this Red Hawk offense.
Yeah, it's a great job from the O-line, just giving him a good space, good protection. Obviously, after 3 or 4 seconds, that is going to fold. It's very rare that you can hold off a guy that long coming at you like that without holding or causing a penalty, but John Romero steps up in the pocket, recognizes in space, and is able to use his elusiveness to get forward.
As the handoff goes to Ezekiel Anderson, who's stuffed up the middle. Believe might have been tackled for a loss, actually.
Yeah, and it looked like that Mayville defense had had enough of these first downs so far, as they just all swarm right there. I don't even think it was much of a blitz, but they just put their feet in the ground and started moving.
And both these teams, when they rush the ball, both teams are running collectively into a brick wall repeatedly, time and time again. And at this point, it's going to be whoever breaks through that brick wall just a little bit more than the other. Four receivers now, two far side, two on this close side for the Red Hawks. Romero dropping back to pass, looking over the middle, throws it through the hands of number 19, Joel Gomez, just a little bit to his right, had to try the full extension, and there's that very fast pass from John Romero, went right through the hands of Gomez. That's just something these receivers are not necessarily used to.
Yeah, when you're going to throw it like that, like Romero does, you love putting some zip on the ball, but it's got to be pinpoint, because if it's not, it's going to be too fast for players and receivers to react and get their hands on. It's a good effort there from Joel, as you mentioned, but it's not quite going to be enough, and now we got a third and long opportunity here for the Comets to get off the field and get their offense going.
Now Anderson to the left, Romero throwing over the middle toward Ramirez. He had to get rid of it quick. Number three of the Comets, Anthony Johnson, was about 2 to 3 inches away from absolutely killing Romero back in that pocket, and he just threw it just a bit wide to Talon Ramirez over the middle, and unfortunately that will be fourth down for the Redhawks. They'll have to punt it away.
Yeah, and I'll hesitate to say that that's a bad read there for Romero. I don't think it was a bad read as much as he was just super rushed. He had to get that ball out, avoided taking a sack, and didn't throw an interception. So at the end of the day, you know, it's not what you wanted, but it's what you got, and it could have been worse, of course, but I will say Talon Ramirez was in a one-on-one situation. The DB was well on his, like, he was on his back ready to make that tackle, but if he made one man miss, it was a house call. He's gone to the end zone.
This one's punted up and away toward Isaiah Smith, who will hold on to it, calls the fair catch right at the 25. And, spotted at the 26. I take that back. Another solid punt from Louis Sanders. And as you said, Spencer, not a bad read from Romero. There's just nothing else you can really do. He took care of the rock, did what he needed to do, and didn't throw a pick. 6:02 left here in the second quarter, and a 10-7 ball game. It will be the Comets football here.
Yeah, and any time you don't turn the ball over, you're giving your team a real chance to win the game, especially when you're in the lead. That is the most important. You cannot turn the ball over when you're in the lead and let teams make their way back in. Obviously, at any time, turnovers are not what you want. But just being smart with it, you'd way rather be able to punt the ball 40 yards down the field than have a turnover and shift momentum entirely.
As this pitch goes to Jake Simmers, taken outside toward the numbers, but tackled at the 32. Tackle made by the Redhawks.
It'll be number
second down.
Yeah, number 13, Darren Miller, coming in like a missile there, making that tackle just after about 5 yards there from the fullback of Mayville / running back. I think he kind of does it all. You can see him back there. I think he can play any position, to be honest. I wouldn't be surprised if he takes some snaps under center.
Yeah, Kyle Juszczyk of sorts. This one's fumbled and batted around on the ground. Squeaks out again, covered up by the Comets. And they end up getting a bunch of free yardage out of it, just the way the ball squirted.
Yeah, so it's going to be first down. It's move, ball pops out again. Forced fumbles have not been an issue or given the opportunity to get turnovers for this Red Hawks team, but it's actually recovering that, which is hard to do. A lot of times the ball literally just doesn't bounce your way like it did there, but one of the Simpson Red Hawks tried to scoop it instead of falling on it, and I think a lot of coaches would rather you just dive on the ball there and keep it and keep possession instead of trying to pick it up and run with it.
I mean, especially on this side of the 50. You're in great field position. Now they're lined up on this near side hash. Quarterback, keeper, and taken outside.
Matthew Donovan, the ball carrier.
Taken down right at the 48. Somehow got through. I mean, it's just a cluster of white and red.
46-yard line.
Actually tackled at the 46.
He was tossed around a little bit after the play.
Yeah, and it looks like Darren Miller gets in on that tackle again, so not afraid to get hit here. Looks like he got chopped in the knees right about there, so he's walking it off a little bit, but he's been putting in work. That's a freshman right there who's working hard, getting involved here, and that's something you love to see. And now there is a wideout here for Mayville, and it looks like Darren Miller will line up on him playing deep safety here. And it looks like a blitz here, and we might see a sack. Oh, he gets away.
Now nothing but daylight. It's the 40 and the 45 before he's brought down by the two of Louis Sanders. Oh my goodness. Went from almost a sack to just taking up the numbers to the 50, the 40, and then taking right around the 30. And there's those yards from Matthew Donovan, one of the leading rushers on this Comets offense. He's got 100 yards on the year.
Yeah, and just my football fan coming out right there, just loss of words after the missed sack, or not even a missed sack, just great scramble there for Matthew Donovan, but just having him in your hands and having it turn into a 30-yard rush the other way is one of the most frustrating things you could ever experience, and I'm sure it's even worse as a player.
Now Donovan hands it off to number 32, Moses Mwapa, and a flag on the play as well on the dive.
Flag down on the play.
And that is a big guy in Moses Mwapa.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the first thing I noticed was this guy is on the field for, I think, one of the first times. He is definitely getting the ball right here.
64-73 offense. 15 yards to the previous.
It looks like it's going to work backwards.
15 yards. And, I mean, Mwapa put a hit on, I believe that was Julian Hart, 52. I could be wrong. It might have been a different jersey for the Redhawks. But just put a hit on that lineman. And, I mean, really didn't move Julian Hart at all, especially given the impact rating of that that hit. But, I mean, hey, it's a big dude coming at you, a way to stand your ground. And
yeah.
Just catch the head-first dive play right there on the handoff.
Yeah, and that's kind of the energy we've seen today from this Simpson team that I think has been lacking in previous games.
Mwapa takes the handoff again, gets up the middle, and tackled by Caleb Utter at the 35. And now ball squirts out. I believe play wasn't blown dead, and it was. It's going to be the Comets ball. Looks like the ball actually came out for a second and then was quickly recovered by the Comets. Could be wrong because it got pushed back a little bit from where Moses Mwapa was tackled, but the ruling on the field is that he was down prior to the ball coming out. Now Mwapa in the backfield again. Under center is Donovan. He's going to go back. Two-step pitch looking toward the end zone. Dodges one tackle from De La Cruz. Now moving outside the numbers. Scrambling 30-35. Almost. He gets past the 30, actually, and pushed out of bounds right around the 28.
Yeah, still, that's not the best case scenario for Simpson, of course, but they're still working with third down and medium, third and six, third and seven, roughly. So that's not a bad idea at all. Just contain that pocket and make him make a move if he has to. They did a good job of covering downfield when they drop into coverage here, but now it's looking like they're going all in on this third and medium.
And lots of motions there all at the same time, and a flag flies. That's got to be a... false start on number two of this Comets offense, Kelby Azure, who's been an intended receiver at least twice, both times in each end zone, which is pretty impressive for the tight end. 2 minutes before the half now as we get this two-minute warning. Both teams will get a break here, a little break in the action. And, man, it has been a fast-paced game with the amount of ball movement rushing. And for the Comets, I mean, under center, every single time it's a dive to Moses Mwapa using his size to their advantage. But even on that breakaway, I mean, he got a bunch of yards, got up the field, but the penalty marker moved him back. And then right after Matthew Donovan, dodging the tackle from Joshua De La Cruz, the linebacker of the Redhawks. And, I mean, just by the fingertips, almost got to Matthew Donovan, but able to escape. I mean, all quarterbacks playing tonight, Romero, Anderson, and Donovan, just elusive in that pocket, able to dodge, twist, jive, you know, all the spin moves.
Yeah, absolutely. They've been using their legs really well this game. Even Jack Simmers getting a lot of touches so far from Mayville as well. Just built like a fullback, but runs like a running back, and he's shifty like a quarterback, all of it. there's a reason this team loves to run the ball, and there's a reason they run it as much as they do, this Mayville team. But like I was about to mention there before, that two-minute warning was now with that penalty moving them back to third, from third and six to third and 11. You kind of don't have much of a choice. I mean, I'm sure they could find a way to draw something up to get the ball outside on a run, but you're expecting a throw here now, definitely, which is not what Mayville wants to do. That's not their play style, of course.
Yeah, third and 11, they're going to have to pass or get a breakaway run. They are going to send two receivers.
Yeah, and if it's a clean pocket here, I wouldn't be surprised at all if Matthew Donovan drops back, he looks to pass, and after 2 seconds, he tucks it and runs.
I would not be surprised at all. Under center, Nuapa, Moses Nuapa in the backfield. Two receivers, one in motion. It's going to go to Nuapa, who gets to the 25, and tackle there. Short of the first down. It will be fourth and six, fourth and five. Nuapa, a big guy, but just contained by the Red Hawk defense.
Well, what do I know, Jacob? Just staying true to their run game. As I mentioned, third and long, and they're going to run that ball. That's something you see when teams know they can run the ball, they're going to do it no matter what. And on this fourth down, that's what I'm expecting as well.
Now fourth and five with 1:30 left here in this second quarter, as it starts to get a little rowdy here out here in Palisadro at Foothill and Bill Johnson Community Stadium. The play clock's going to wind down. 6:54. They're just waiting for the Red Hawks to jump off sides, and they will call a timeout before the half. And it looks like they will try for a field goal.
Yeah, it's much easier to be fooled in person than on TV, I'll have to say, when I'm watching football games and I'm like, they're trying to get them to jump off sides, but I didn't even take a look at the clock. They're letting that clock run down. They get in there quick, get a hard count going, and now it looks like they'll still try to go for it on fourth, but I'm assuming they're going to bring the kicking unit out here and give Mayville's kicker, which will be
Bryson Heck.
Yes, Bryson Heck. Thank you, Jacob. Give Bryson Heck an opportunity to redeem himself from a little bit even further of a kick, but we'll see here. Not entirely sure. They still have two timeouts to work with each side, I'm pretty sure, and just over a minute left, so they're going to use those to their advantage. And another thing about just running that clock is to make sure that Simpson doesn't have all the time in the world to go down the field, because they do get the Mayville does get the opening, the ball to open the second half, to open the third quarter.
And they will kick it, but the Red Hawks special teams, I mean, you got to watch for the fake here. They're from the 33 is where they're kicking it, and they're getting loud on the sideline. All these players trying to amp up this crowd. Here's the try. It's up and no good again. The Red Hawks special teams, now a little bit of a scuffle going on. And man, the extracurricular activities after the play. These Red Hawks are playing with fire in their bloodstream tonight. Again, it's a game they've had circled on the schedule. They want to get this first win in program history.
Yeah, and as I mentioned again in pregame special teams, just another thing, we've had two missed field goals and we've had two returns coming all the way into the other team's territory. Two missed field goals for Mayville, and then Simpson's allowed Mayville to get into their defensive third, soccer term, sorry, into their second half, into the scoring position, rather, in that twice as well. Special teams, again, just make or break. Even though they don't get much field time, it is one of the most important areas of the field to play.
Now Caleb Anderson, two receivers far side, James Webster here on this near side, right at the numbers. To his left is the 26 of Eli Cortinas. Shotgun formation, 106 left to work with at the half.
Yeah,
in
with that
motion is Trevor Thomas. Now back to passes, Anderson looking, sends it towards Monticelli, who will receive it right at the 37. They're going to have to hurry.
Yeah, and I love this, actually. I was thinking they might just try to run the ball up the middle and see if something breaks big and to get forward and see if they can get in field goal range, but I love the hurry-up offense. I love that they're being aggressive here. They're only up three.
Here they go again, three receivers. Anderson back to back. Pass, two-step hitch, sends it outside towards the numbers. Spin move, tackled right at the 40. Breaks another tackle and gets another 4 yards. That's Eli Cortinas with the reception as the Red Hawks trying to move more. And now a timeout will be called by Coach Daniel. Again, a lot of pushing and shoving after the play. But, I mean, fire in the bloodstream again. 30 seconds.
Yeah, just bringing me back to the high school days. Obviously, I'm from here in Reading, so I don't know if it's just the local thing, but it feels like Friday Night Lights all over again back in high school in the student section. But I will say being up here in the booth is much more enjoyable.
But it's a little bit harder work, but it is definitely probably just as fun.
Yeah, of course. Just love getting to watch football, just enjoying it. And I will say this might be one of the only chances I get to mention it, just because we are in a timeout, but Eli Cortinez. I went to high school with Eli, great guy, great athlete, and getting the ball right there. And you see, as you mentioned, just playing with fire, he's looking to go. One of the three touchdowns this season so far scored by Cortinez, so you love to see that. Some of the local boys showing out.
Got some local kids and a lot of Central Valley kids also on this roster. They're going to send three receivers, Webster on that far side, Monticelli at the numbers, and Ramirez on the hash. Shotgun formation, Ezekiel Anderson to the right of his brother, Caleb Anderson. Caleb, the younger brother, Ezekiel, the older. With 48.5 left in this 10-7 ball game here in the second quarter, we're 48 seconds away from halftime. Here's the snap. Back to pass is Anderson looking over the middle toward Talon Ramirez, just a bit high.
Yeah, and it's going to be the right read there from Anderson for sure. Just felt some pressure. Talon in the slot looking like he was going to make a great run, but just overthrown a little bit. Definitely had some pressure in his face. But in my opinion, not a bad throw at all. He was open.
And now third and four. The 21 of Chris Bush will check in for Ezekiel Anderson. And you have to imagine they're going to run here. I'd be surprised if they did anything else. It is third and four. You could throw. And now Chris Bush stacked up on that far side. Watch the screen.
Yes, we got an empty backfield now.
Now Bush in motion, but whistle blows. The Comets are going to take a timeout. Quick 30-second timeout. 41.6 left here in this second quarter in a 10-7 ball game that, yes, the Simpson University Redhawks lead. We're up by three. Mayville with their second charge timeout. That is the first time in a long time that I have seen no running back line up to the right, left, or behind the quarterback in that shotgun formation for the Redhawks.
Yeah, you love to see an empty backfield. You don't see it much on third and four or even fourth and four, but definitely exciting. Got some motion movement there, and I think that's kind of tripped out Mayville a little bit, so they were able to burn another timeout for them. And just give them a second to recoup. I think the coaching staff is just trying to decide, do we want to go for points here? Like, we're only up three. We have to kick the ball to Mayville to start the third quarter. So do we want some insurance points? Or are we just going to sit on our lead and, you know, play it safe, run the ball up the middle here and see if we can maybe get into field goal range? But I say go for it. You're in a good spot. I think you do have something to lose, but you have nothing to lose, if that makes sense, at the same time with their record and the schedule. Like you said, this has been circled. You know, you got to go for it. Go big.
I would agree. Keep the pressure on and just, they're going to send five receivers. Chris Bush lined up to the left of Caleb Anderson. They have one timeout to use if they do get in field goal range without a first down. In motion is Ramirez, goes to the far side. Now Anderson snaps the ball back to pass. Looking, he's going to flush out, roll to his right. Now throws, crossbody, and caught by Joel Gomez for the first down. Breaks a couple of tackles. Full extension. They'll be marked down right around the 43. And there was that big play from Caleb Anderson over the middle of Joel Gomez. What a great read, a great pass. He rolled out to his left, flared his hips back, got right, threw off one leg. Now they're going to send four receivers again. Bush lined up to the left of Anderson. Anderson dropping back to pass, looking toward the end zone, looking for Talon Ramirez. Caught by Talon Ramirez to the end zone. Over the middle, Talon Ramirez. Blues doing backflips, and the Redhawks are going to put another tutty on the board right before half.
And that,
oh,
again.
My goodness.
Again, Jacob, it's Caleb Williams to Talon Ramirez, what we've seen this whole entire season. And it's a great play call. It's going to make its way in the end zone. And now it's a two-possession lead, you'd assume, heading into the locker room here. How about that? Caleb Anderson letting it fly. Oh, my goodness. Fireworks in the opener. How about that?
Now with the PAT, Lewandowski to snap it. Miller to hold. Kicked up and away. Splits the uprights. It is 17-7 with 20 seconds left before the halftime here.
And how about that?
My goodness, that passing game already from both quarterbacks for the Redhawks. I cannot believe it. Talon Ramirez absolutely broke away from that Comet secondary, and he was I think he caught it around the 10 and then turned, and it was nothing but grass to the end zone. A little house call right there. Took it across the goal line. They're up by 10, and they're about to head to the locker room. They just need to kick it away and keep these Comets pinned down. But, I mean, what an offensive night. They've scored more points now than they have in any other game all season. They've only played two other games, but they have scored more points in one half than all two other games they've played this year.
Yeah, and I just want to real quickly give another nod. I know all that excitement, of course. Yes, we got to keep them pinned deep here if we're Simpson. If we're supporting Simpson, you do not want the special teams to get the ball in territory and field goal range again and give them another chance. But Caleb Williams fitting that ball in to Joel Gomez on the play before the touchdown. Joel Gomez leaves his feet over a defender, makes the grab on third and short. That's just absolutely incredible. It's going to be a little squib kick here.
Squib kick goes off of 83.
And I like it. I like that move. And extracurriculars continuing on.
And that's Jonah Lopez keeping one of his fellow players in check as well. I mean, my goodness. Yeah, just Joel Gomez with the catch and then Talon Ramirez riding off it. I mean, yeah, I got to give credit to Joel Gomez. Joel, I know personally outside, along with Talon, both great guys, along with Selly, Webster, Trevor Thomas, all those guys, bunch of great guys on the roster. But to see Joel right there get that, I mean, that's a huge reception. If he doesn't catch that, leave his feet, elevate, and also break the tackle, I mean, Talon Ramirez doesn't get that reception. The Redhawks are not up. 17-7 as the Comets are going to take a knee, and we're going to send it to half. The Redhawks are up by 10. And Spencer, I'll say it at halftime, it's a great day to be a Redhawk.
Yeah, absolutely.
17-7 as time winds down. The cheer team is going to take the field and do their routine. If you're interested in watching that live on the radio side of things, go to Simpson Redhawks on YouTube to watch the cheer team perform here at the half. We're going to have to mute things due to copyright regulations, but you'll be able to view their dance routine and everything. And we'll see you back here for the third and fourth quarters, the next half of this ball game, when we return after this break from Bill Johnson Community Stadium in Palisadro, California. 20 minutes until the third quarter. The Redhawks are up by a score of 17-7. This is Jacob Green with Spencer Schlange on the Redhawks Sports Network and KCNR, Shasta Redding, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, or online at KCNR1460.com.
We will tune back to our regularly scheduled program until the third quarter in 20 minutes.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa and Janet Chandler. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archive link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the building? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Maybe if you can get some more wind to blow through that area. Bees can't seem to fly in the wind, which is very strange. So if maybe if you can open up some landscaping to get some more airflow through that space, you might find that they won't bother you or bother the cat food that much in that area. Maybe even just as simple as an oscillating fan to just kind of help keep the bees and the wasps moving from that area. But I know they seem so scary, and I can say this as a person who has been stung by a bee once. Like, I'm terrified of getting stung by a bee again. I don't know why. It wasn't terrible. I know I'm not allergic. It wasn't great. But yet, I'm like you. I see a bee come near me in my yard, and I'm like, and I'm like running. But I think if you just get the air moving a little bit, and they follow you when you run. So it's a terrible idea. But I think if you just get it moving,
you can go anywhere and get a degree,
but
where are you going to get the degree and have a little bit of more meaningful impact in your life?
And with the trap, you can sort of
personally, it's brought me out of my shell for sure. I'm very introverted into myself. And then, like, coming here, everyone's, like, so outgoing and wants to know each other and wants to get together and hang out.
There's so much to do. You can go hike, or you can go down to the lake,
go play golf, do that work here. Never been fishing before. Get it up here. Snowboarding. I mean, everything I've done with this community and the people has just been super fun.
Academically, I have managed to put much more time and effort after practices.
You know, you have a crack or two in the surface, and if you want to repair those cracks, that's great. I mean, if it's something like a garage floor, you can patch those too. There are different products that are made specifically for repairing concrete. You're going to find them in a couple of different forms, in a tub and more like a caulking tube, and even in sort of like a stucco consistency. So it really depends on the type of crack or how badly cracked or how deteriorated it is. If it's super bad, you can look at a product like Recap, which is made by Quikrete. You kind of apply it to the old surface and it adheres perfectly, because that's the issue when you're dealing with damaged concrete. You want the repair to stick and stay, and if it's a large sort of area of distress or issue and you put the new concrete on top of that, if it's straight concrete, it's never going to adhere. So most of these are polymers or sort of mixed materials that will really adhere well to that concrete. So if, for instance, you have a larger area, you definitely want to go with a Recap product. If you have something that's a smaller crack, you can go with something that fills it. If it's a wider crack, you're going to want to put what is that, Jim? A backer board? Is that what they call it?
A backer rod. Kind of like a swimming pool noodle, but smaller.
Yeah, they're like foamy and weird, and they come in different diameters, and you would kind of stuff that into the crack first and then put that repair product on top to sort of give it an area to really adhere to, but not also be just, you know, a deep fill of the repair product.
Using 35 tubes, yeah.
Yeah, like, oh, I'll stuff this all down there. So you just have to kind of look at how large, how bad, where, and then you can determine the best product for that. But there are repair products for concrete, and you want to make sure that they're made specifically to repair and resurface because you want it to stick. But it's not a difficult project. It doesn't mean everything's falling apart. Now, if you were to say, oh, geez, this, it's sunk in half a foot and it's really wide, or there's a lot, that's different. This is just superficial cracks and totally fixable. All right. Well, thanks so much for calling us at 888 Money Pit, Lori. This is the Money Pit. Thank you so much for joining us this hour. Coming up, we're breaking down the latest projections and what they mean for homeowners planning to stay, sell, or shop for a new place in 2026. If real estate is on your radar, you don't want to miss it. So stick around. Now's a great time to check your roof for damage or wear. Not only does harsh weather beat up your roof, but with age, asphalt shingles will start to lose their natural oil and become dry and brittle. That doesn't always mean they need a costly replacement. RoofMax Roof Restoration Treatment is a safe, easy, and affordable alternative to roof replacement. And right now, they're offering a free tune-up completed prior to applying treatment. They'll fix nail pops, refasten loose flashing, and seal cracks and exposed nails, an $859 value. I've seen RoofMax in action, and it really works. RoofMax is trusted nationally, and installers are locally owned and operated. And get this, for every roof saved, RoofMax works with the Dave Thomas Foundation to find a forever home for a child waiting in foster care. To find a RoofMax installer near you, go to RoofMax.com. That's RoofMax, M-A-X-X.com, or call 1-800-ROOFMAX. I'm Leslie Segretti, host of The Money Pit, with my top tips for home improvements this spring. The only thing worse than a toilet that never stops running is going to fix it and getting the wrong part. The FluidMaster Universal Super Flapper easily converts from a 2-inch to a 3-inch flapper and fits almost every toilet. Stop noise, leaks, and flushing money down the drain. Maximize outdoor living with Trex Rain Escape. This underdeck drainage system keeps rain and moisture out, turning that underdeck area into a dry, livable space for entertaining or storage. It's easy to install on new decks or when you're replacing those deck boards, and lets you run gas and electric lines. Bison Level Up adjustable deck pedestals let you build ground-level floating decks faster and easier. No need for digging or pouring footers, and they install right over concrete slabs or soil. You can build decks up to 12 inches high and compensate for an up to 8% ground slope. For more, follow the Money Pit podcast at moneypit.com/podcast. Time and exposure to the elements can cause concrete to flake and discolor, making your concrete driveway, sidewalk, or patio look old and worn. With Quikrete Recap Resurfacer, you can easily recap and restore your concrete surfaces at a fraction of the cost of replacing it. It's an easy project you can even do yourself. QuickCrete Recap will give you a durable new look finish that will last for years. To watch the how-to video for Recap, visit QuickCrete.com, QUIKRETE.com. Hi, I'm Leslie Segretti, and we want you to get a grip. Make your home safer and more beautiful. Add TrackSafe Anti-Slip Color Coat to ugly, blotchy floor surfaces, then top it off with award-winning TrackSafe Anti-Slip Sealer. Renew concrete, stone, and pre-painted surfaces with these easy-to-apply products from Deich Coatings. Great for both inside and outdoors, TrackSafe products deliver aggressive anti-slip performance with all-weather durability. Get on track and order products today with free shipping from the Home Depot, Lowe's, or DeichCoatings.com. That's Deich, D-A-I-C-H, Coatings.com.
The Money Pit is presented by Ladera Wallblock from Pavestone. Ladera Wallblock, transforming spaces with ease. Learn more at pavestone.com. That's PAVESTONE.com.
Making good homes better, this is The Money Pit. I'm Leslie Segretti. Hey guys, are you ready to roll up your sleeves and look pretty darn good while doing it? Well, we have teamed up with our friends at QuickCrete and Pavestone to give one lucky Money Pit listener a $50 gift card, not for tools or materials, but this time it's for some seriously cool QuickCrete merch. You can check everything out at the QuickCrete online merchandise store. Maybe you'll find an amazing hoodie or fleece vest or durable work shirt. You are going to be geared up in style while you are taking on your next DIY project. QuickCrete, it's what America's made of, and now what your next workday outfit might be made of, too. So give us a call for your chance to win. Jim, who's up next?
Chandler in Kentucky, you've got the Money Pit. How can we help you out today?
My question for you is, when it comes to insulating a new home, I'm building a new home in Mayfield, and I would like to know what's the best route. I want to do a total encapsulation of the entire envelope of the house, but I don't want it to cook my shingles in the hot summers and stuff. I don't want to have a vented roof system or anything. I feel like that's a very outdated method, but I just don't know, and I don't know any contractors that are educated enough to that to give me an answer. So I'd really like to have some perspective from y'all on what would be the best approach as far as having a great insulation value, but not cooking your shingles in the summer with that hot Kentucky heat that we normally get.
Yeah, you know, Chandler, this question kind of comes up over and over again, and I think that the roofing shingle manufacturers sort of started this because they've told folks that their warranties will be voided unless they vent the attic. But the truth is, you can go ahead and spray foam on the inside of your attic and the entire building envelope with absolutely no fear whatsoever that this is going to shorten the lifespan of those roofing shingles. You know, what would shorten your roof shingles lifespan about 10 times rather than the insulation is simply having a darker shingle. If you look at a white roof versus a black roof, the white roof is going to reflect more UV than the black roof. So that kind of thing really would impact a shingle life, not whether you use spray foam insulation on the back side of it. Now, there have been some people that have done some really detailed studies on this, and if I remember everything sort of correctly, I think the increase in temperature of that sheathing was only about 3% because of the spray foam, which is completely insignificant there. So I would have no worries whatsoever about a shortened shingle life. That is hard to say. A shortened shingle life by using spray foam insulation, which is, by the way, you know, kind of the best insulation for the attic. It seals, it insulates, it makes your home super comfortable. So I think that's a win-win. I think you're not going to see a tremendous reduction in the shingle life of your roof. So I say go for it. All right, Chandler, good luck with that project. Thanks so much for calling us at 888-MONEYPIT. Well, if you're thinking about moving, remodeling, or refinancing in the next year or two, the 2026 housing market forecast might just shape your plans more than you think. The good news is we're finally seeing signs of stabilization in both home prices and mortgage rates, and that opens the door for smart moves now that will pay off down the road. Now, after several years of rate hikes and affordability challenges, forecasts from both Fannie Mae and the National Association of Realtors suggest that mortgage rates could drop to around 6% by the end of 2026. Let's hope. I mean, that's a major shift from the peaks we've seen in the past year or so when rates climbed as high as 7.5% or more. And why does that matter? Because when the rates fall, affordability goes up, and that brings more buyers into the market. Now, the National Association of Realtors projects that a 6% rate could make homeownership possible for an additional 5.5 million households.
Wow.
And potentially generate 550,000 more home sales per year.
Nice.
Which is awesome, because people have just felt stuck. They can't move, they can't buy. What are you going to do? But even with that improved affordability, it's unlikely that we'll see a return to the sky-high bidding wars of recent years. Now, home prices, slower growth, more stability. After this roller coaster sort of years of run-up pricing post-pandemic, the market is cooling off a bit. And Fannie Mae predicts that home prices will rise just 1.1% in 2026, while Zillow is expecting an increase of less than a half.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
You can go anywhere and get a degree, but where are you going to get the degree and have a little bit of a more meaningful impact in your life?
Personally, it's brought me out of my shell, for sure. I'm very introverted into myself. And then, like, coming here, everyone's, like, so outgoing and wants to know each other and wants to get together and hang out.
There's so much to do. You can go hike, or you can go down to the lake.
Go play golf with people that work here. Never been fishing before. Get it up here. Snowboarding. I mean, everything I've done with this community and the people has just been super fun.
Academically, I have managed to put much more time and effort after practices, you know, into the books. Before there's a athlete, there's a student.
And you grow here a lot more just because the people you're put around and the professors they have here and just the faculty.
The professors actually know your name. It's awesome. They want people to be here and they want people to succeed. You're never alone. Like, there's always resources and people to help you.
This will bring power into this. And then you'll have another one that's going to the light bulb.
Living here has made me much more independent, and it has made me much more of a disciplined person.
It feels like family. You feel supported by everyone you're with. It's a good community.
People are so welcoming here. It's just an awesome environment.
I think it's the best thing about it. I made the best relationships I've made in a really long time here.
Building relationships and deepening your faith, it's allowed me to really go in depth within the scripture.
Something that made me want to come to Simpson was hearing about how people have grown their faith with God.
If you want to continue on growing with your faith, Simpson University is the best place.
There's so much the school has to offer, whether that be like spiritually, academically, sports, like it's just good all around. And it's great people, great mentors, great professors, coaches, you name it. Everyone's here to help and everyone wants to see each other succeed here.
Experience,
learn, grow,
and impact at Simpson University. Simpson University was named a 5-star Champions of Character Institution for the 2023 to 2024 school year, as they received a perfect score, 100 out of 100 points. Simpson University has also earned the Sportsmanship Award in the California Pacific Conference for the 2023-2024 school year, as they embody true professionals on and off the field. You're tuned into Simpson University's Red Hawk Sports Network and KCNR Shasta Redding. Need a plan for future goals and investments? Call Merrill Lynch Financial Services today. They can help you build a successful financial plan.
Simpson alum David Van Dyke is committed to creating a financial plan that will help you reach your long-term goals. Simpson University is a proud sponsor of Nike, the official on-field gear of your Simpson University Redhawks.
Go, rebounded by Conrad.
Oh! Amari Tate with insane. The hammer being thrown down.
The 0-1 delivery from the righty Jones off the first base side. The breaking ball hit in the air toward left field. To the track. At the
another serve here. Over the tape. Right with the pancake. Davies back corner. And the Redhawks get the point.
Quinn Wright. Now here's a guy, man.
Run that back. Put that on the highlight reel. Coming out of nowhere. Able to pancake the ball. Taking this one towards goal. Leaping up and in. Chloe Tate from deep.
What a shot.
Fits it between the crossbar and the full extension of Gabriela Montez. That'll put the Redhawks up by one. What a shot from Chloe Tate.
Deep. Oh my goodness. Dre is unconscious right now with 21 points.
You're tuned into Simpson University's Red Hawk Sports Network and KCNR Shasta Redding. You're tuned into Simpson University's Red Hawk Sports Network and KCNR Shasta Redding.
All right, here we go.
Hello, fans, and welcome back to Bill Johnson Community Stadium in Palo Cedro, California. Jacob Green joined here by Spencer Schlinge, 17-7 as the halftime break clock winds down and we get ready to begin this second half. Kicking it away for the Redhawks will be Braden Smith. He'll be sending it away to the 11 of the Comets and the 18, Isaiah Smith and Darnell Green. He's going to squib through, picked up by number 23. Now tackled and stuffed by a cluster of Redhawks at the 40. Who picked up that football, Spencer? I couldn't even see. Number 23 of the Comets.
Yeah, it was number 23. I'm not sure. Trying to find a name here.
May or may not be on the 2D.
Yeah, I think it might be D'Anthony Thompson, a freshman. But that, man, it took the whole entire team to take him down right there, and it was still only stopped off forward progress. So very good job just keeping the wheels turning. And I like the idea of the squib kick as well. As I mentioned, those two kickoffs in the first quarter from Simpson just turned into big returns for Mayville. So just the squib is fine. You put them in good field position, but not great field position, which is what we've seen when they do kick the ball deep.
It also gives them less time to take that football from wherever they receive it with the speedy Darnell Green and also Isaiah Smith.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
I mean, not a bad call. It kind of worked.
Yeah.
Maybe the best, or I should say the worst field position for the Comets all night.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's just kind of limiting the damage, you know? It's like, it's not a good thing, but it's, if you feel like your special teams can't bring down the returners who are shifty and quick, credit to them, then you're best off just not letting them get a big return out of it.
It's an aspect of the game they can control, and that's what they did. So, the Redhawks in a cover three. They have a three-man rush as we get ready to get set here. 17-7, 14-52. First and 10 from the 40 for the Comets as the ball finally gets set. Moses Nuapa in the backfield. Donovan under center. Here comes the dive, the pitch, or the pass. The triple option for this wing tee offense. Now Donovan trying to get outside the numbers and slipped up before he's pushed down by Caleb Utter, who sniffed it out right away.
Yeah, and you could tell Mayville was confident keeping that ball in Matthew Donovan's hands. Obviously, he's not going to get switched out anytime soon, if I'm not mistaken. He's very shifty. He's done well, but we also know that they've been passing the ball around a lot the last three games, not over in the air, but, you know, running by committee, rather.
I'm very interested to see exactly what these stats look like after the game in terms of the rush and passing yards for both teams.
Absolutely, me too. It looks like
what they came into the game with.
Yes, exactly.
The pre-game show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Three-man rush, three in the box. Now goes to Nuapa, who's sniffed out, stuck, and the Redhawks do not walk away with the football. Momentarily thought it was a fumble.
Yeah, it looked like almost Donovan thought he was keeping the ball, and I think Jack Simmers thought he was taking the ball, or whoever was in fullback right there. I think it might have been Simmers. And I think Matthew Donovan's hand kind of got stuck in there, and it looked like the ball would kind of exchange hands for a little bit. But it will stay with Mayville here. But regardless, it's going to be third down and long.
And here it is again, third and seven from the 43. Just a little over 13 minutes. Donovan is going to keep it. Now pitches outside. Flag on the play. Outside the numbers. Gets the first down before he's hit and pushed out of bounds. And Shaquille Brookins took out one of the Comets once they were out of bounds. Little tussle over there.
Yeah, seeing a helmet flying, that's when you know it's something gnarly. And he'll have to sit out for a play. If I'm not mistaken, NAIA rules follow the NCAA.
That would be correct, yeah. Yeah, anytime the helmet comes off.
We do have a flag to take care of as well from early in the play.
Chopping block.
I did see that look. Again, I'm no genius, but I did see number 50 on Simpson on the D-line kind of limping around. It looks like he got his knees chopped for sure. So,
yeah, Isaac Fallen, the right guard, with the call. And that is a big dude down there.
Yeah, it might have been number 58. I can't remember exactly who I saw, but he had a big limp to him right around where the flag was, so I assume it was some low hit. But that is another way to take yourself out of the game. If you're Mayville down two possessions in the opening drive, you just want to go get points on the board and then trust in your defense to make stops, as they have pretty well this season, actually.
Now it's third and 22. Third and a bus ride for these Comets. Ball on the 28. Three in the box, three-man rush for the Redhawks. It's taken up the middle by Nuapa, who's stuffed by the Redhawks defense as they hold the run yet again. If it's something they expect like that in this wing T triple option offense, they're going to be able to sniff it out. They're going to be able to do that time and time again. And it's that triple option. They just see the ball really well. They know where it's going. They're able to stuff it.
Yeah, and I am still pretty surprised that Mayville hasn't resorted to throwing. I know, like, obviously the stats say that they will run at all costs, but you'd think they're down 10, they're one touchdown, their only time they scored so far was off a play-action throw. I thought they'd see that more. As this punt is nearly blocked, but it is going to make its way through.
And it's going to roll.
And it's going to take a really nice bounce.
Not sure who was back to return it for the Redhawks, but scooped it up and ran it out a few yards. It's going to be spotted down at the 26. 26-yard line where the Redhawks will take over first and 10. I think that might have been Cortinas.
Yeah, I thought 38, it might have been Chase Sinis. But regardless, he does a great job. That ball was going to roll all the way back into the end zone. He was getting swarmed, but it made a good hop right to his chest. He made a great job of playing the ball, collecting it, and then moving forward just to limit the damage of that roll, because it was a very nice punt. That's a nice hop. But luckily, he's able to get in front of that and keep the ball from no fumble, no muff, and then keep it from rolling all the way towards the end zone and giving this offense a full field to go down.
And pretty solid field position. I mean, not the worst, not the best they've had tonight, but they're going to get it right at the 27-yard line.
And now I will wonder, after Caleb Williams, that touchdown throw, that connection to Talon Ramirez, if we're going to see more John Romero tonight. I'm sure they'll still see hints of him, but Caleb's obviously been putting it together well. So actually does look like John Romero's on the field right now. So I think they're sticking to the game plan as well.
The distance to the goal after a penalty flag came in. I'm not exactly sure what it was. I didn't hear the ref, but now the Redhawks unsportsmanlike conduct. Thank you to our live stream producer, Jill, in the studio. or I should say the booth, not the studio. Now it'll be first and 10 from the 13 after the penalty. Three receivers for the Redhawks. Romero, shotgun formation. To his right is the 21 of Chris Bush. Hands off to Bush, taking up the hash marks, a couple jukes, and gets tackled at the 21.
Chris Bush, the ball carrier, tackled by number 0.
I mean, even Chris Bush has been shifty with it and able to get yardage out of what looks like nothing. Even when the Comets have sniffed out the run, these running backs for Simpson have been able to get blocks and they've been able to get up the field a little bit. If I had to math it out myself, probably an average of 3 to 4 yards a carry, which is, I mean, that's solid. If you run the ball 3 times, it's a first down. So
yeah, absolutely.
Four receivers now for Romero. Shotgun formation, Bush to his right, looking to pass. Drops back, now throwing toward Talon Ramirez with the reception and the first down. A face down celly from Ramirez after he was tackled on the catch right around the 28-yard line.
Yeah, and Romero does a great job getting that ball out. And then it looked like Talon Ramirez, he got someone was wrapped around his ankles before the ball even got to him. So no penalty flag. It may have just been he slipped up, but he was able to make that tackle. But Talon coming down with that, very impressive catch. And that's a connection we've seen from Caleb Anderson and John Romero. Their favorite target has got to be Talon Ramirez so far.
Just a very good target in general. As this one's taken up the middle and stuffed by the safety. Number 5. Now, a little bit of a jawing going on between the teams again. Big tackle from the Comets right there.
Yeah, and these teams are here to play, Jacob. As you mentioned, that fire that we've seen, this energy, this vibe from Simpson, it's definitely been reciprocated by Mayville, but Simpson's been on the, rather the... the worst end of these penalties, for the most part, these unsportsmanlike penalties, which is easy to do, you know, tempers flare and stuff like that, but it did look like an unnecessary throw down from Mayville, but the flag is picked up. We'll see if there is an official call here.
I'm not sure who that was. It was one of the corners or safeties. Might have been Tyson Snag, number 6.
Yeah, it looked like he did pick him up, throw him down a little bit, and then it looked like, I think, here, we'll get a call here, actually.
Holding offense number 56. That's only been enforced in the previous spot. After the play, unsportsmanlike conduct number 56.
So,
Nolan
Kim has unsportsmanlike and then also the hold, which offsets the other penalties from the Comets. So, that actually sends the Redhawks back to where they were.
Yeah, now it's going to be first and forever, a full 20, oh my goodness, 28 yards or so. Long way to go here for Simpson. They're going to have to throw the ball, or they're just going to run the ball to get some room to punt and just play it safe. But we'll see what they can do.
It is first and 29 after the catch from Ramirez. But Ezekiel Anderson lined up behind Romero. Shotgun formation, 3 receivers. Romero's going to hand it off to Ezekiel Anderson, who gets outside toward the numbers. A little bit of daylight, gets a couple blocks. Now takes it to the 30, where he's tackled. He was so close to breaking free. There was 2 white jerseys in front of him to his right, and he nearly gets the first down. Now it's 2nd and 9. Maybe 2nd and 7, actually.
Yeah, and a great run, absolutely great. Like a 25-yard run there from Anderson, of course, Ezekiel Anderson. And then all of it is kind of just to get right back to where you started, which is really unfortunate. That's why those unsportsmanlike penalties are frustrating, especially after the play. You go and push someone over or anything like that. That's uncalled for.
Ramirez in motion, goes back toward that far side. Through his ears, far side 1. Near side, Romero dropping back to pass. Looking, is going to throw it to number 33.
Romero's pass complete for number 33, Dante Benjamin.
Deontay Benjamin of the Redhawks. On the... not necessarily a design screen by any means.
Third down and 4.
Now 3rd and 4. Got some yardage there. Benjamin, one of the call-ups from that JV roster after he had a huge JV game.
And I will say, as excited as we've been to see throwing the ball a lot from Simpson so far tonight, which is something we wanted to see in the pregame, Ezekiel Anderson has really found a way to take over this game.
Now Anderson in the quarterback. Miller to his right. Along with Benjamin, he's going to keep it himself, get the couple of blocks, and a pancake block from 55 of the Redhawks. That's going to... I'm very surprised there was no flag there, to put it simply. Parker Valderrama absolutely taking one of the Comets down the field, pancaked him, and then got up on top of him, which is...
yeah.
Let's just say not something you usually get away with.
Yeah, definitely interesting. I think he played it off decently well. I mean, I think I see the same thing you saw, Jacob. But definitely interesting that there's no flag there. I think he just trying to make it look like he was just trying to get up. But it was definitely something personal there. Like, realistically, which is, that's sports, you know.
And you love to see a battle on the O-line and D-line. It just makes for a better game as the Redhawks will punt it away. Luis Sanders will send it away.
It's a great punt, too.
Another great punt that bounces forward. The Redhawks are quickly going to tap it to make sure it doesn't get any better field position. Reef Lau all over it, along with
at the 35-yard line.
A couple of other Redhawks, and be down around the 35, first and 10.
And I just want to reiterate to what we've seen as well. You said the X factor of this game absolutely being in the penalties, and especially, like I said also in the pregame, just the unnecessary, the mental errors, shooting yourself in the foot essentially, and that's what we've seen quite a bit of, but it hasn't come back to kill Simpson yet. They've actually played a really good game. Penalties have been the worst part of their game, to say the least, and they just got to keep their heads here. They're in a good spot. They don't want to, none of that unsportsmanlike stuff like that. Penalties will happen, but those are ones you can control. No mental blocks or anything like that.
Yeah, they're getting, speaking of blocks, different type of blocks, but even their blocks, they've been great every time. There's been, I mean, obviously there's been handfuls of missed blocks, but compared to what we are used to, there's been some great blocks, some great personnel changes that really line up against this Comet defense, and the Redhawks have walked away with some great yardage gains multiple times because of it. That's just everyone doing the right job and doing it correctly. You can't ask for more than that, so...
Yeah, and I think this first half and so far in this third quarter as well has given this program a glimpse of life and hope, you know, feeling like it's just them against the world kind of thing, feels like it's all against them. They can't find a way to get the ball in the end zone. They can't win a game. Obviously, this game's a long way from over, and they are still only up 10 points, not even two full scores. And they have a lot of work to do on the defensive end here. But just feeling like they actually can do this. And as you mentioned, this game has been on. They've been looking out for this game since last spring, I'm sure. And they're excited to be here. And the energy, the intensity, the vibe is all great. But they still got to put the job, or finish the job, rather.
There's still a lot of football left to be played. 8:50 now, remaining in the third quarter after the Comets timeout that they called. Working from the 35-yard line. Their own 35. Their first possession after their three and out.
And I'm still convinced that Mayville is going to stay true to this run after watching the first half. I think they are too far gone to start throwing the ball now.
And if it's anything like our pregame notes that we've noticed, yeah. And here it is. There's the dive, but stuffed by the Redhawks defense yet again.
And this is a solid Mayville team as well. We don't know exactly the caliber of teams they're playing, but they're 2-1 on the year. They have a winning record, won a couple games, obviously traveling all the way from North Dakota, playing here at a high school field. It's definitely a different feeling for them, I'm sure, in California, in Northern California. But excuses aside, this has been a game that I do genuinely believe the Redhawks should be winning, and they are. So,
as long as the defense and special teams... Six of what they've been doing now, dropping back to pass to Donovan. He's going to have to give himself, takes it up the middle, gets past a couple of tackles. Casey Mina connecting with Caleb Utter as flags fly.
Matthew Donovan
was the ball carrier. He took it up the middle. Calling for a hold is one of the D linemen for the Redhawks.
And that just negates everything Matthew Donovan just did. If this does get called back, that is absolutely just disappointing if you're a Mayville fan here or supporter.
And the Comets are making their way back. It looks like it'll be on the Comets.
After the play, personal foul, number 64.
Number 64, there it is, of the offensive line. That's Aaron Gilnett of this Comets football team. That sends him backward after the great run from Matthew Donovan that had a shot to, I mean, it was about to be a breakaway. He got through about four or five Redhawks before he was brought down by Utter and Mina.
Yeah, Gilman there just with a mental error. It is going to be first down, I think we see.
It could be a penalty against the Redhawks. Please refrain from using the horn. Thank you.
8:08 left as time ticks down, and what we heard was the PA warning the horn users on that sideline that it could be a penalty against the Redhawks as this handoff goes. Now flags fly again after Utter and Norcross and Louis Sanders. Joshua De La Cruz with the initial tackle, but then a cluster of Redhawks after. Just some pushing and shoving going on after. On the ground.
Yeah, and this game has definitely gotten very chippy so far here early in the second half, and it has been all game, but this has been like every other play. There's something going on. It's going to be a face mask. Don't know if it was intentional or not. You'd assume not with the face mask. You're trying to wrap him up and make a tackle. But, you know, this is the first time, as we mentioned, Simpson's been in the lead in a long time and, like, held a consistent lead. So, definitely goes to show, like, where they're at mentally. They got to be tough, not just physically, but mentally if they want to pull this out.
And for the Redhawks, that's, again, more penalty yards. That is not something you want. You need to avoid that. And they've defensively played sloppy on this drive. They need to be careful because now at the 40, the Redhawks 40, is the Comets. And wrapped up and tackled for a loss right there. Caleb Utter comes back, sneaks through the line along with Casey Mina, sniffs out Matthew Donovan, and he's tackled for a loss.
Yeah, it's a great swarm there from the Redhawks, all of them just by committee. And they should all get tagged for a tackle for loss there for sure, a percentage of one, as they all wrap them up, made them down.
Now second and 12. Time ticking down, just outside of 7 minutes left in this third quarter. Redhawks rushing three in the box. They got five dropped back to play a little bit of zone coverage. Again, under center is Donovan. Handoff goes up the middle to Nuapa. Now to outside pitch, actually. Got me on the triple option. Goes the 11 of Isaiah Smith before he's tackled around for a gain of eight. Just short of the first down. Should be third and two. There it is again. I completely screened. Now we have a Redhawk down on the field.
And it looks like they will be moving the chains as well for a first down.
Defensive injury.
A defensive injury for the Redhawks. Can't quite see who it is. For the numbers, they're down around that far side hash on the 35-yard line of the Redhawks. Hopefully he's all right. The ball spotted at the 29-yard line for the first down. First and 10 with 6:39 left here in a 17-7 ball game. As it's quieted down a little bit here. And it is the 11 of Shaquille Brookins. So a huge, huge loss for the Redhawks if he's not able to stay in this game. He's going to limp off the field under his own power, kind of jogging. Hopefully he's all right and able to come back into this game. That is a huge piece of their defensive scheme at that safety position. Very speedy guy. As well, I mean, he's a safety. He's got to be speedy, but...
Yeah, definitely. Just that. Just that kind of... That piece of protection you're missing, obviously. It is a run-heavy team, which helps, which is not as impactful for safeties to be on the field. But when they're speedy like that and they can read defense as well, he's going to be missed.
That's taken up the middle, and the tackle made by...
The
31 of Nicholas Gonzalez.
It looks like there was two tackles there for a second. I thought the fullback had the ball again, just getting fooled by the by Matthew Donovan keeping that one and tucking it and running. I thought the fullback had that ball and he got brought down. Someone else thought he had the ball too.
I was also very confused. I was just hoping I was calling the right player. No pair of binoculars up here, and I do not have 20/20 vision even with my glasses on. Here they go again. Second and four from the 23. Pitch goes outside to Isaiah Smith. He's going to take it outside the numbers and tackled out of bounds. Just short of that first down.
Yeah, and they do love that play, but and Mayville does love that play. You can tell with just Isaiah making his way through, Isaiah Smith making his way around through from the slot all the way around for a little bit of a wildcat kind of style thing, but just taking off the sweep. But Simpson's been holding strong. They know what that play's about. They know it's coming, and they're ready to stuff it.
A third down again. 8 of 34 on third down tries for the Comets. They try the dive here. Donovan the ball carrier. And it is called a first down.
Yeah, it looked like their own little version of a tush push there. Just kind of pull it all forward and just make motion and all that. That's all you need. If your helmet moves, you're getting a first down there. That was third and about as small as you can make.
Yeah, 25.33% of the time they convert on third down. Inside of 5 minutes left to play. Nuapa in the backfield. It's going to go to Nuapa. He's going to carry it up the middle. Through and tackled right around the 7-yard line. Huge hit from Nuapa. But
yeah.
The tackle made by the Redhawks.
Yeah, big hit. They look pretty rattled, but they're able to make it work. The Redhawks get up. He makes a great hit by Nuapa makes a great hit. And it looks like he impacted three Redhawks on that one. But it takes a village to take that man down, to say the least.
And now another quarterback keeper up the middle. The Comet tush-push.
Yeah, just trying to get a first down there, get a new set of downs so they kind of hurry up, get to the line real quick and just move the ball because they were at, you know, second and inches again. But usually if you were in the middle of the field or so, if you're on second and short, you'd like to take a shot deep knowing that you have third down and fourth down in your pocket. But right there, when you're that close to the end zone, you just want the fresh set down so you can start looking to get in the end zone.
And now first and goal with 4 minutes left here in this third quarter.
And I think inside the 10, I'm definitely expecting run 9 touchdowns off the rush for Mayville this season, and they're inside the 10-yard line.
Here it goes to Nuapa on the dive, but stuffed by number 42.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.
With the stop from the D-line, no gain on the play. 3.5 left as the clock keeps winding. The Redhawks trying to make a goal line stand here. Second and goal for the Mayville State University Comets.
Yeah, and that was a good highlight, Jacob. That clock is still burning. We are working our way through the third here.
It's going to go outside to Isaiah Smith, who will get in the end zone and score for the Comets. Even there, I thought Matthew Donovan had the ball for a little bit longer than I probably should have. Thought it was a quarterback keeper. It was, in fact, not. It went outside to Isaiah Smith on the handoff. He was able to take it between the hash and the numbers on that far side. Snuck through, even though there was about 3 or 4 Redhawks. But Isaiah Smith using those legs, and he's just been able to beat these Redhawk defenders. Now it's 17-13. Here's the PAT try. And that will be good, but there's a flag on the play. We'll see what happens here. So we await the call from the referees.
And it looks like Mayville's making their way off the field. They're just going to decline it and accept the PAT, or it'll be implemented at the end of the kickoff, whatever they decide to do.
You now, see them? A 17-14 ball game, Spencer, and it's this drive is going to matter a lot. And roughing the snapper on the play from number 44 of the Redhawks, it will be enforced on the kickoff.
Yeah, so just starting this drive off even worse before the offense even steps on the field, or even special teams even steps on the field as far as the return team. So disappointing. And this side of the bleachers an hour ago was jumping and pumping, and now it has gotten pretty quiet, I will say. And I think it's the reality is sitting in that Simpson is going to have to score again if they want to win this game. You'd have to assume. And Mayville's getting loud over there as well, the few supporters who have made their way.
The 44 of De La Cruz. That is, he's cost the Redhawks a handful of times tonight. That is not something the Redhawks need at all, is those penalty yards. As the Redhawks will get ready to receive the kickoff. And as you said, Spencer, that pressure's on to score a touchdown here. They need to score at least something. It's 17-14.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is pretty safe to argue. I have like about 90 to 95% confidence that Mayville will be scoring again unless Simpson starts scoring right now. I think if Simpson does not score more, they will lose this game tonight.
Football is a game of momentum, and it's also a game of defense. The Redhawks defense needs to step up their game a little bit more, and also on the special teams side. But that drive right there wasn't even the Comets' offense. It was really just flags and flag yardage. It's the free real estate. You can't give that away. That goes really in any sport.
Absolutely. And now you see this kickoff, Mayville lining up. The ball is getting kicked from the 50-yard line. they can kick that ball in. They can pin them deep within the five if the kicker makes a good kick here. Pin them real deep, and they will have to go the length of the field to score anything, which we have not seen a team do yet, other than maybe that Ezekiel Anderson touchdown.
And I was going to say, watch the onside kick here. And the onside kick is going to be, I believe, the Comets football. And there it is.
What a play call, really.
I was waiting for you to finish your sentence, Spencer, and I thought I was going to have time to call for it. That will send the defense right back out there. And the Redhawks were lined about 2 to 3 yards off of the 10-yard marker. And it was recovered by the kicking team, the Comets. The Redhawks were just far enough to where full speed on the squib, you might be able to get to it full extension. That is exactly what the Comets did. They beat the Redhawks to the punch. I'm very surprised that the Redhawks were not right there on that 40-yard line. Again, getting kicked from the 50, you have so many options with where that puts the Redhawks on the special team side of things. And that was one of my other keys to the game was special teams. You know, how are they gonna operate? You need to take advantage of kickoffs and everything else. And now they have the ball essentially right outside the red zone. I mean, they're basically a first down away from getting inside the red zone. Donovan back to pass, looking over the middle. It's going to go dropped. It's dropped. A wide open pass outside the numbers on this near side. The Redhawks caught probably the biggest break of the game right there. That pass was intended for Jake Simmers, and it was going to be a catch and a score right there, right off the bat from the onside kick.
Yeah.
That secondary was moved all the way up, watching for the run. Again, triple option.
Yeah, you just absolutely incredible. I mean, Mayville throws us off. I mean, I'm sorry I couldn't get to you. You couldn't get ahead of that call. I kept talking. Your onside kick prediction, that would have been a pretty cool one. But just taking the run. They've been running all game long, and then you get a big momentum shift, and they're like, you know what, let's go throw the ball.
Exactly, and here they go in motion. Sit to Simmers, far side on the pitch, gets outside the numbers, but tackled. He picks up about 5 yards.
Charlie Walden
with the tackle. And again, it's momentum is the key. The Redhawks need to get a stop here. And what was key in the first half was those two missed field goals, or the one missed field goal, rather, that kind of added an exclamation point to that field goal that the Redhawks had. Then they came back with two touchdowns.
Yeah,
what you need here.
Absolutely. And I will say our pregame was great. I think we studied for this game absolutely incredibly. We knew the run game was coming. We knew penalties were going to be a factor. We knew special teams were going to be a factor. And so far, those are the three biggest things by far.
This one's ran up the middle, Moses Nuapa, but just short. That will be fourth down as it was getting a little rowdy here. I heard those defense chants and feet on the bleachers.
Yeah, the fans are buying into it here. They're riding back with their team. They're believing in them, and there is no doubt in my mind, even if this is field goal range, which is debatable, there's no doubt, fourth and one, this team is going for it. They can hand it off to five different guys on the field right now, and I'd comfortably say they have a good chance of getting it. But Simpson can make the right read here.
The bleachers start to roll. That line is stacked. It's going to go, dropping back to pass, looking toward the end zone, wide open. Simmers drops the ball. He drops it. He pushes the turf in frustration. A couple of Redhawks were there, but they were nowhere near to making a play on that ball. And somehow, some way, Simmers again drops the football and helps the Redhawks out. It's going to be a turnover on downs. Hopefully that's a momentum shift. The crowd is starting to get back into it. The cheer squad down there on the sideline as well helping out with it. And oh my goodness, I was also expecting a penalty flag on the play, but man, this game has gotten a lot more stressful than I thought it was going to be.
Absolutely, man. Jack Simmers has got to be kicking himself for those last two. First down, he had a touchdown. Fourth down, he had a big play. He would have scored, I will say. Matthew Donovan, the Redhawks did a great job of bringing pressure. Matthew Donovan, obviously not a great throw, but that's not necessarily his fault. He's throwing off his back foot across his body. 15 yards down the field. That's a tough throw to make for anyone at any level. Definitely one Simmers should have caught, but even if that throw was in the right place, that's another touchdown. So just really unfortunate, and Mayville's going to be kicking themselves the whole way home if they end up losing this game.
Now three receivers, Luke Miller to the right in motion, now moves to the left of Anderson. Eli Cortinas behind Anderson, shotgun formation as the clock ticks down. It's going to be a handoff to Cortinas, who has nowhere to go, trying to get outside and get back to the line of scrimmage. The ref bails. He's tripped up out of bounds along with the chain gang over there. Big ol' hubbub. Almost took out five people.
And that was, I just want to go back to that last play or that fourth down hold. That is the momentum shift right there that you need. If you're supporting the Redhawks, that's exactly what you love to see. Crowd gets back into it, but now you have to go score. You have to go score points here. If you're giving the ball back to the other team, you're basically, there's just less time on the clock, but you're right back where you started. So it's just definitely a very frustrating situation if the offense can't make something happen here after a great stand from the defense.
Cortinas again, two receivers near side, Webster and Monticelli. Anderson, shotgun formation. Here goes the handoff to Cortinas. It's a fake. Thrown over to Webster, just to the right. It got tipped. The play action pass had me fooled. I thought Cortinas was going to take it outside the numbers again.
Yeah, and that's a good read from you too, Jacob, that pass being tipped. I didn't see that initially. I just thought Caleb missed him a little wide or behind him, not quite in stride. But I think you are right. The more that ball did look like it lost its spiral in the middle of the throw. So good call there.
Now Ezekiel Anderson will check in. Monticelli and Joel Gomez on that far side. Roommates up there on third floor, Thompson. My old room. Now Gomez in motion. Two receivers near side. Anderson rolls out toward his right. Looking for a little daylight. He's going to have to take off and run. Gets a block, but then is grabbed from behind. And he's going to be short of a first down by about 5 yards.
Yeah, and it looked like he had a little daylight there, but just getting tripped up. These Mayville boys are ready to work. They're here to win a game. They didn't travel across the country or halfway across the country to lose a game. So.
Yeah, rolling out to his left there. Kind of slowed up by the blocks, which unfortunate, but what can you do? You need the blocks, and now punting it away will be Braden Smith. And again, momentum killer in a few ways, but the Redhawks can punt it away, put it deep in enemy territory. We have a chance to let the defense do some work. Isaiah Smith back to receive it.
And it looks like they're just going to run the quarter out here, so we're going to head into the fourth quarter here, Jacob. With a 17-14 game, Redhawks still hold the lead as they have all three quarters. And it looks like Coach Sean Daniel has taken this into his own hands here. He's heading into the fourth quarter, hats off, getting a little frustration, getting a little energy going. He is ready to get this team going.
Yeah, the Redhawks huddle up here on this near side as they approach the fourth quarter with a three-point lead.
And this is...
three-point lead is not enough to win this game.
Not at all.
Four more. And we'll just see how it plays into it. But we're going to cut the break. We'll be right back after this quick break. 15 minutes left to play in this football game. Jacob Green joined here by Spencer Schlange. Under the lights on this Saturday night. We'll be right back after this.
Simpson University was named a 5-star Champions of Character Institution for the 2023 to 2024 school year as they received a perfect score, 100 out of 100 points. Simpson University has also earned the Sportsmanship Award in the California Pacific Conference for the 2023-2024 school year as they embodied true professionals on and off the field. You're tuned into Simpson University's Red Ox Sports Network and KCNR Shasta Redding.
It's part of maybe her area of the country.
Fans, and welcome back to Bill Johnson Community Stadium in Palisadro, California, in the Redhawks Sports Network and KCNR, Shasta Redding, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, or online at KCNR1460.com. Braden Smith will punt it away for the Redhawks as we begin the fourth quarter here. Calling for the fair catch is Isaiah Smith. He gets it at the 26-yard line for the Mayville State University Comets. And if you're the Redhawks defense right now, you need a stop.
Absolutely. It's time for a stop here. They've actually played pretty decent. I will say, though, the defensive line, or not just necessarily the defensive line, but the defense itself has had a lot of penalties that are just all mental. And I think it's just has a big part to do with we're winning, we're feeling that momentum, we just want to go out there and perform well. So a lot of the penalties have been more mental errors than you know, cheating the game or illegal contact or anything like that, you know. And I think that's what's killed him so far, and that's the only thing keeping Mayville in the game, in my opinion.
17-14 as we begin this fourth quarter. In motion, Donovan pitches outside to Isaiah Smith. Gets outside the numbers. Now pushing Daylight and is going to run out of bounds on the Red Hawk 45. Arrest down on the play. He takes a spill on the back pedaling. And Isaiah Smith got a bunch of green grass in front of him. Casey Mina putting pressure on him to run out of bounds as he started to run out of room. And that was almost just not good at all for the Red Hawks.
Yeah, it could have been a house call to say the least. And I will say, no hate to the official, because if Isaiah Smith was running at me that quick, I would have also been very worried. I would have been backpedaling as well and just lost his footing there. But just like that, the field is flipped almost instantly.
And there it is, the 41-yard line for the Comets with a new set of downs in this 17-14 ball game.
And something to keep in the back of your mind, as we mentioned, the kicker for Mayville, although he is 0-2 tonight, the kicker for Mayville, can kick the ball really well. He can kick the ball far. It's Bryson Heck, sorry. Took me a minute to get that name to you, but Bryson Heck can kick the ball far. We saw in warm-ups and pregame. He was kicking from around where this ball was right now. So if they get another 10 yards, there's a chance they can bring him out to tie the game.
And now, taking up the middle here. On the dive, picks up 3 or 4 yards.
Wesley Gates on the tackle for the Redhawks.
And I have to imagine that the Comets have figured out that that outside run is going to work, and that's what they're going to keep calling in on that offensive side of things.
Yeah, you know what this team reminds me of, Jacob, more than anything? I don't know how into you are with football, but the 2019 Ravens with Lamar Jackson, and those read options over and over again with Mark Ingram,
yep.
And you just have so many options, you don't know if he's going to keep the ball or if he's going to hand it off. And that's kind of how it is. Mayville has even more options here.
They pitch outside, taken up the field through the hash, breaks a couple of tackles, but then stuffed right at the
Darnell Green, the ball carrier.
34, I think.
Yeah, and
Joshua De La Cruz somehow picked up the ball after the play. I don't know how the ball popped out.
Yeah, I think he was stopped for the most part by Forward Progress. There was 5 or 6 people in on that tackle again. The Red Hawks have been swarming really well, which is what's kept them in this game defensively, as we're in on a 3rd and short here.
Yeah, now 3rd and 3. 3rd and 2, rather, and flags fly. Not sure who it's going to be on. Hopefully not the defense at this point, but...
Yeah, I was definitely personally pointing to the offense, but the offense was pointing to the defense as well. And I fear this might be a first down here.
Well, it looks like it's going to be on the Redhawks. It's going to be a first down for the Comets.
It was 38, defense causing the offense.
Offsides on Chase Sinas for the Redhawks. That is just a minor mistake that you cannot be making right now.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. A minor mistake in a major situation. So definitely a unfortunate series of events so far. But again, they're getting the third down, but it's just executing on that third down. No mistakes.
Moses Nuapa in the backfield, ready for that dive. The Redhawks stacking the line. It's going to be taken up the middle by Nuapa. He's tackled around the 23. Tackled by Casey Mina. Inside of 13 minutes left to play. Gains 4 on the play. It's 2nd and 6. And if you're the Redhawks here, you need to hold them right where they're at. Try
absolutely.
And get a tackle for a loss. They have their kicker warming up. Hopefully, that's the resort that the Comets will go to. We'll see how it goes. Nuapa again in the backfield. Donovan under center. One receiver in motion. That's Smith. He's going to go outside to Smith. Sniffed out just out of the reach. He breaks a couple of tackles. The 32 for the Redhawks. With a try, Dylan Brown almost tackled him for a loss of about 15. Had him by the ankle for about a second.
Yeah, definitely a close one there. But that's Isaiah Smith's his speed, as we've seen all game long. Just he's even been back on the special teams as well. So it's going to be like a full 3rd and 4 here, which isn't too bad. But definitely field goal range. But then you got to ask yourself if this head coach of Mayville is going to trust his kicker, who's 0-2. To bang this field goal to tie the game up, you know?
And I think you have to in that situation, but 3rd down they go for it. It's going to be a pitch backward. And picked up by Joshua De La Cruz! He's tackled by Matthew Donovan right around the 50. Oh my goodness! On the pitch! Are you kidding me? What a play by Joshua De La Cruz. I've never seen anything like that. He intercepted the pitch, I think. That all happened so fast. It was almost too hard to see.
Yeah.
Joshua De La Cruz, quite possibly the play of his life and quite possibly the play of this game, quite possibly the play of this program. I mean, apart
Absolutely.
From Tom Ramirez and Caleb Anderson connecting for the first tutty last year, I don't think there's a bigger play than that in a major moment like this. 17-14, 11:43 left. He sniffed that out, and now Matthew Donovan is also down at the 45-yard line. Hopefully he's all right.
Yeah, I just wanted to stay there in the midst of all this excitement and energy, as you mentioned, De La Cruz just taking over this game. That is a play you need. That is a high-caliber, Division I caliber play right there. Intercepting a double pitch. I think it was cut one way to the fullback off a pitch, and then it was going to be pitched back to Matthew Donovan the other direction.
Yeah,
and
trying for the reverse.
Double reverse, and then De La Cruz was all over that. But in the midst of it all, Matthew Donovan being on the ground is not what you want to see if you're on any supporting side of this game.
No, and definitely not. I mean, you never want to see injuries in a game. Also, if you want to lose fairly, you want to win fairly.
Of course.
And, I mean, I'm still speechless. I don't know how evident that is to our listeners tuning in, but my goodness, that came out of nowhere. That play had us fooled, it had everyone else fooled, but it did not have Joshua De La Cruz fooled at all. He came away intercepting a pitch.
Yeah, not only to intercept that, but to take it all the way into the territory of Mayville. That's great speed for a bigger guy, for sure. He was just rallying, he got back to line of scrimmage, and at first I was like, oh my goodness, it's third down, they're going to pin him back for like 4th and 12, now they might not even be able to hit this field goal. And then the fact that he comes up with the ball after that on the second toss, I was, yeah, as you said, Jacob, absolutely speechless. From a fan point of view, I'd be running around in my house right now.
That is, I mean, there's only one linebacker in the NFL that would ever make that play, and you know exactly
Absolutely,
who
I do. I know exactly who you're going to say, the big 5'4".
The heat-seeking missile himself, Fred Warner, for all you 49er fans out there.
Absolutely.
And Donovan is still down. He's surrounded by coaches and trainers. Hopefully he's all right as we get a huge break in the action, and hopefully not a momentum killer at all.
Yeah, and I will say a good thing to see here, as it looks like the paramedics will make their way on the field. Nothing serious, just making sure they're not needed. But it looks like the head coach of Simpson as well, Coach Daniel, is checking up on Matthew Donovan. He wants to make sure he's good. And that's just a round of applause as he makes his way to his feet. That's what you love to see. Just some sportsmanship in spite of all the chippiness and the aggressive play. It's football. And of course, but at the end of the day, it's all for the love of the sport, and you want to still be respectful, and I think both sides have done a great job of that tonight.
And Aiden Markison, the junior quarterback, is warming up on that far sideline, I believe. I don't have a pair of binoculars with me, but I have to assume that's who's throwing the ball around there. As Donovan gets up under his own power, seems to be okay. He's having a conversation with a couple of the paramedics down there. Curly Wilson also doing his due diligence and checking in on the player. I mean, Curly Wilson, without him, the football would not even... any sport at Simpson, really. Without him, Sam Nakata, a lot of people behind the scenes, Rob Harley, our AD, Connor Sutton, just a slew of people that do a lot of work. Taylor Shaw, the assistant AD. I mean, I could just keep going on and naming people. But
yeah.
Even the reason we sound as good as we do would not be possible without any of them. We have David Wiley back in the studio with KCNR, our producer. And just, I mean, so many people that put this whole production into business, if you will, puts it into motion to bring you guys all a good product tuning in, all the family members and even fans, alumni and everyone else alike. And get you some high-grade Simpson sports. And tonight, this Saturday night under the lights, the home opener for the Redhawks.
Yeah, and just a great time to give a nod to our production crew, as you mentioned. There's so many people behind the scenes making this happen, and it looks like Matthew Donovan, it looks like more than anything, he's just kind of holding his wrist, maybe his arm, and he is going to get a little cheer here from both sides of the field, which is something you love to see, and it looks like he is going to go get checked up.
Yeah, he's going to get walked back with the paramedics. I have to imagine a break or fracture or something in the wrist might have fallen on it. As he gets some applause here,
Yeah, and just a reminder to all those watching, we are also not doctors or paramedics, and we are way up here, so don't assume the worst, of course. But it looks like he is getting checked up, and he's holding that wrist pretty close to his chest, which you have to assume is some sort of decently major injury.
It is a non-throwing hand as well, yes. Which is, I mean, that's a good sign, as good as it can be.
Yeah, and still no head injury or anything like that from the looks of it, which is good. That's the most important thing. He's walking off on his own volition, but just really nursing that left arm there. And now that backup quarterback from Mayville making this trip all the way from North Dakota feels like he has the chance to play superhero tonight if this Mayville defense can get the ball in his hands.
And Romero, this will be his drive. He's got Ezekiel Anderson to his right as we get back underway here. The ball at the Red Hawks 48-yard line. 11:43 left here in this ball game. Ramirez sent in motion to this near side. Romero dropping back to pass, looking over the middle. It's going to go through. Oh, my goodness. That was almost an interception. And that is another break for the Redhawks.
And I was convinced, Jacob, that that was going to be Romero's fourth interception in just three games, which is not a great stat, I know. A lot of it from what I heard from you and from the film and stuff like that is a couple of them were really unlucky, and he just feels like he has to throw the ball down the field on first down there. I like the idea of looking deep. But if it's not there, just keep it or tuck it and run, throw it away, something, you know, because that could have easily been intercepted and taken back the other direction.
Now Ezekiel Anderson rolls out to his left after the play action. Romero takes a huge hit and throws it away. There was the good decision from Romero to take care of the rock. He threw it way over Reef Lowell's head, who also is a swimmer, by the way, dual sport athlete. That's a big dude down there.
Yeah, and this is
third and 10 again for the Redhawks from the 48 still. You do not want to go three and out here after that big play from Joshua De La Cruz. But now Micah Kendall and Joel Gomez will check in, along with Talon Ramirez, Monticelli on that far side, with Ezekiel Anderson in the backfield as well.
And it looks like it might have gotten timeout here, which I was just about to say. Yeah, it'll be a timeout for Simpson, which I would definitely argue is a good choice because this is, to date, the most important play of the game so far. As far as I don't even know if they've gotten a first down this half. Simpson's really calmed down. And imagine if they didn't get that touchdown to Talon Ramirez from Caleb Anderson at the end of that first half. So you just got to be very grateful that you're still in the situation you're in, but you got to make something happen here. Third and 10. I saw John Romero took a big hit there, but he did protect the ball. He got the ball out of his hands, and it got to the sideline before, you know, any getting his elbow bumped or anything like that. So it looks like he'll be okay. He's able to take a hit.
But a 46-yard pass against Southern Oregon to Talon Ramirez, where John Romero, it's actually posted on the Simpson football page. Shout out PQ Digitals with the footage, and Addison Jones, both Devin Quinn, both of them running the football media. And he took a huge hit on that play as well. It's not something he's not accustomed to. It happens a lot in college football on the throws when you don't have a lot of pass protection. They go shotgun formation again. Ezekiel Anderson to the left of Romero. Three receivers far side. Gomez, Ramirez, and Monticelli on this near side. James Webster on that far side, right around the numbers. Romero dropping back to pass, gets some protection. Throws it over the middle of the Talon Ramirez, just beyond the extension of Talon Ramirez. Couldn't quite air it out enough. And man, there is a penalty marker on the play. And that pass was about a foot and a half, just a bit too high. It's going to be on the offense, a holding call coming in on number 55 of the Red Hawks, Parker Valderrama.
Yeah, and Talon Ramirez, man, that boy is speedy. We have seen this three times now, two times, once for a touchdown and once on a big play on the first drive on that third and 15 or so from Caleb Anderson. But Talon Ramirez is basically just running in from the in the slot and just taking off down the middle of the field. Like a lot from what you see from a tight end, just kind of stretching the defense, but he's gapping every single person on this Mayville defense.
It's just a post route every single time.
Exactly. It looks like it's going to work every time. He starts outside and he works his way into the middle of the field, just like a post, like you said.
Now the Redhawks will punt it away, airs this one out toward Isaiah Smith. It's going to go on a hop, this time rolls toward the Comets. Isaiah Smith trying to be sneaky, but he's pushed out of bounds at the 15, and that is a big, big play again.
And I will say there, Jacob, obviously disappointing that Simpson could offensive end, but I did just see one thing that really got me excited before that punt was I saw Joshua De La Cruz over here at the end just getting himself mentally prepared. He looked like he was ready to go out there and do exactly what he did. He's going to earn this team the ball back, and he's going to lead these guys. And I think if I'm not mistaken, he did play in the JV game as well a couple weeks ago, and he was moved up, and he talk about an impact player, impact performance. He did great in that JV game as well.
I mean, he's played a lot of football this year already. He's played in three games, and he's made impacts on the field every single time. As the Redhawks will get ready on defense here, as they get set, pitch goes nothing, looking to throw on the triple option, into coverage, broken up, and no flag in the no-fly zone for the Redhawks, number 13, right there with a great coverage.
And look at that, that's the furthest throw we've seen so far from Mayville, and it looks like their backup quarterback may be the one with the arm on this team.
Which is very impressive, all things considered, because Matthew Donovan does have a cannon on him as well.
Yeah, of course, and I think... Sorry, go.
Cameron Spaeth on the coverage there. This one's going to be taken outside the numbers.
Darnell Green, the ball carrier.
Darnell Green, the ball carrier.
Forced out of bounds by number 15, Darren Miller.
Picks up about five. Darryl Miller pushed him out of bounds. That'll be third down now, 10:50. Counting down here in the 17-14 ball game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and I think Matthew Donovan was just fits the play scheme of this offense of Mayville a little bit better with his ability to run. Obviously, I haven't seen too much, and it looks like we're going to give some movement, a flag. It might be...
We'll see what the call here. Both the O-line and D-line pointing at each other. We await the call from the Zebras.
Yet it was freshman Darren Miller for Simpson on that long 35-yard throw that landed in the hands of the receiver. And it looks like it is going to be a free first down here off another penalty, just in a horrible situation for Simpson. 5 yards isn't the end of the world, but when it's third and short, it sure is. This late in the game with the score where it's at as well.
Especially compared to the personal fouls that we've seen tonight, the 15-yarders, the 10-yarders. You'll take a five at a time like this, as much as you don't want to. First and 10. Ball's on the 25 of the Comets. The Redhawks rushing three in the box. So it's taken up the middle on the dive.
Brandon Olson, the ball carrier. Tackled by number 34, Joshua.
And I am excited to see what Aiden Martinson, if they're going to let him open up and throw again. That first throw, they took a shot just like after that onside kick. Those were the two deep balls we've seen so far from Mayville themselves. And it looked like a really good throw, as I said. It hit him in the hands. It looked like he was going to make the grab as well. But Darren Miller just taking over there, making a great defensive play.
Aiden Markinson, we haven't seen a lot from him. There's not really anything on film.
Olson, the ball carrier.
As Olson's the ball carrier on the dive, will get the first down.
De La Cruz Jr. on the tackle.
De La Cruz with another tackle. It'll be a first down for the Comets.
And it looks like we will see. I think it is relatively safe to say that Aiden Markinson will be the quarterback for Mayville the rest of the game, assuming that Matthew Donovan will not make his way back out tonight and his night is over. Solid performance by him.
Yeah, just ended in unfortunate circumstances. Back to pass as Markinson, almost a late hit, and what a catch leaping into the air. Oh my goodness, Jake Simmers getting up for that one, got the toe in. And somehow came down with a football.
Yeah,
that's just an insane catch.
Yeah, it's an incredible catch by Simmers. It looked like his legs were over his head right there for a minute, making a great catch. And now they're looking, knocking on field goal range again. And now Simpson is thinking, we got to make another play. We need De La Cruz to go make another play. Or I'm going to step up and make another play. You know, this defense is full of playmakers from what we've seen already this game. And it's time for another one right here.
They're going to go one receiver far side. It's going to be a handoff up the middle to Nuapa. Landon Olson, rather, number 42. 42 and 32. Keep tripping me up, let me tell you. It's a gain of about 2 or 3.
Gain of 4 yards on the play. Brings up
gain of 4, actually, is where the ball is spotted on the forward progress.
Yeah, and as I mentioned just before, knocking on field goal range now, getting pretty close. They're going to need another 10 yards or so at least, just because the 10 yards in the end zone and then the 7-yard drop-off. Just to give the kicker some room.
Now Nuapa in the backfield. It's going to go to Nuapa up the middle, sniffed out. Now he gets a little bit of daylight, a couple of moves, gets toward the numbers before he's brought down by Casey Mina. And he gets the first down and more. It gets tackled right around the 26. And now just outside the red zone,
or the Comets, and the player's down on the play as well for the Red Hawks. Another defensive injury for the Red Hawks. Looks like a lower leg injury. Not sure who it is.
Yeah, he's wincing good down there. It looks like he's just kind of, hopefully it's just a stinger. He looks like he might be trying to get up on it, but.
Might have been taken out of the shin or something like that and just hard to put weight on. Hopefully he's all right.
What more could you ask for on a Saturday night here, Jacob? 7:45 left in the game, 17-14. Simpson looking to get their first win in program history, and us at the top of it all.
I mean, I couldn't even ask for a better night. It's the 92 of Teola Siemenutafa, and that's where I relied on Cole McMahon a lot to pronounce those names. Cole, if you're tuning in, yeah. big shout out to the original, the OG color commentator, who I'm not so good on the pronunciations, but hopefully I get them right as much as I can. It's probably the hardest part of our job, honestly, other than the homework.
For sure.
If anybody could see the amount of paperwork we have up here, they would be very much enthralled with the amount of information. I'll put it that way.
I would have been too. Me 3 months ago would have been like that as well.
Nuapa in the backfield again for the Comets as they send it via the handoff far side. On the carry is Darnell Green, who gets outside the numbers and inside the red zone. And if you're the Red Hawks, you need to catch a break here and you need to get a stop.
Yeah, and now if you're Coach Daniels, the head coach, you're also now thinking, if Mayville does score here, which it's looking like that, they're at least going to score and tie this game up with a field goal, assuming their kicker can put it through. You got to be thinking, who's going to lead my team? I need a game-winning score, a game-winning drive put together from the one to the end zone. You know, who's going to be my quarterback to make that happen? That's got to be in the back of his mind right now as well.
It's going to go to Nuapa, who takes it up the middle and gets the first down. Tackled at the five. Caleb Utter on the tackle. And for the Red Hawks, it is time right here for this goal line stand. It is second and one, just short of the first down. You need to keep them from getting any yardage right here. Nuapa again in the backfield. You have to assume the dive here. They have one receiver on that far side. It's going to go to Nuapa, who takes it up the middle and through. It's going to be a touchdown for the Comets. That will put them up 20-17, awaiting the PAT. And Spencer, we have ourselves a ball game tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Just another rushing touchdown to add it on. I think that's 10 now. 10 now on the season, or 11th. The 10th and 11th both tonight. Also with one more passing touchdown, which is good for Matthew Donovan, connecting to, might have been Simmers there. I'm not entirely sure. I have to take a look back at it. Sorry, go ahead.
Part of this is Shaquille Brookins is not in the game anymore. That safety, as this PAT is going to go right through. That puts the Comets up by four. The Red Hawks need to put it in the end zone.
And
6:18 left here in this ball game.
Yeah, I was just about to say, Jacob, they have plenty of time to make this happen. The time is their friend. It's not their enemy as of right now. They got plenty of time to work with. You don't want to go down the field too quick and give Mayville time to go score, but you also just got to worry about scoring. I'm not saying you should just run out of bounds when you're right outside the end zone, but we got to see them get a first down first.
Keep the ball in bounds, but go score. That should be the message right now to these players on the sideline.
Yeah.
As Chris Bush will receive the kick along with Deontay Benjamin, one of the two, both set back to receive it.
Sorry.
Now you got to watch the onside kick for sure, because we've seen it already once. Ezekiel Anderson, Reef Lau, and the trio of other Red Hawks, including the 85 of... Not sure who 85 is, actually, but for these Red Hawks special teams. It's going to be kicked away. Deontay Benjamin calling for it at the 15. He's going to take it. He's going to run it out. 20 toward the 25. Gets through a couple of blocks. Down at the 30. Solid field position for the Red Hawks.
And I think I'm going to make my first official hot take on the mic with you here, Jacob. I think that Simpson will score here as long as they do not go backwards on first down. That is my prediction. If they take a sack or a penalty, if they move behind the chains, they're not going to score. But if they stay ahead of the chains, I see them in the end zone here in a few minutes.
And if I'm anyone on this Red Hawks roster, including coaching staff, I'm looking for the one of Talon Ramirez. He's been open every single time they've looked deep. Caleb Anderson in a quarterback, this is his drive. He was one of the original 60 members. He was the starting quarterback recruited that they wanted to build this program around. This is a chance for Caleb Anderson to cement his legacy here for the Redhawks. If he can help put the ball in the end zone. Running back to his left, two receivers on this near side. His brother Ezekiel to his right. It's going to go to Ezekiel Anderson toward the numbers. He takes it up the hash now and gets the first down. Ezekiel Anderson, a gain of 12 on the play.
Yeah, and I like the call. First of all, I like that draw up the middle. Just get forward if you can. Ezekiel Anderson's been the best running back by far tonight on either side. And Talon Ramirez is going to check in, make his way onto the field. And now you're going to see these safeties slowly start to drop and pinch in a little bit. Just based off of what they've seen from him already, starting out wide, making his way into the middle. But I also like the call I wanted to say real quick of Caleb Anderson. You know, as you mentioned, this is his team that they started it around. This is his drive to give them their team their first ever program win.
His brother Zeke to his right. Play action. Looking to pass. Looking toward Talon Ramirez. And it's picked off! Talon Ramirez was in double coverage. And it's picked off by the Comets, number 5. A huge blow to the momentum of the Redhawks. And they're going to need to put a stop to this Comets offense.
That is going to be the first interception of the year for Caleb Anderson, and that's one he's going to lose sleep over tonight if that ends up being the final score where it's at now. But there's time on the clock. They have a chance to get the ball back and make an opportunity, see if they can steal this game back. But this is something we did say we were concerned about heading into the second half. We felt like we didn't want them to sit on their lead. They need to go score, you know. Points are going to win them the game, and they needed more than 17 tonight.
And they knew where Caleb Anderson was going to be looking. It was toward the one of Talon Ramirez. They had him in double coverage. It's not necessarily a bad read. The ball was going to be right in the breadbasket. Just there wasn't quite on target. Just a little bit out of his reach. But huge contest there as Markson with a handoff toward Nuapa, but a flag on the play.
Yeah, and if this is Mayville moving backwards, this is the lifeline that Simpson's hoping for. First and 15 is very difficult to work with. Obviously not as bad as second or third and long, but...
And it will be the Comets moving back. Definitely not the end of the game. There's still 5 minutes and 24 seconds left. And the Redhawks are down 4.
Yeah, absolutely.
5-yard penalty on the Comets.
Yeah, and I want to touch on that as well. Just like, this game is not over. You got to keep your head up. The amount of points that are scored just so far this season in college football or the NFL, there's been times where the final 2 minutes of the game has 3 touchdowns. You know, there's a lot. This could go back and forth and back and forth and back again before we know it, with still some time on the clock. So Caleb Anderson's got to shake himself off and get ready to go again, hopefully.
And the crowd needs to get ready. Here's a pitch toward the outside, towards Isaiah Smith, who's going to get stopped by Casey Mina, who sniffs it out. That'll be second down.
Yeah, and it looked like Markison, the pitch was just a little bit soft, too. It looked like it was about to hit the ground, but great job from Isaiah Smith just making a grab, getting kind of catching it, caressing the ball there, and able to move forward get for a gain of 3 or 4. It'll still be second and long, though.
Yeah, second and 11 from the Comets' own 36. The second down, third down, and fourth downs for the Redhawks is where they need to really work defensively. No penalties is what you need here on this drive, as it's going to go outside pitch toward Simmers, who takes it and gets pushed out of bounds right around the 44. Jack Simmers. He got way far outside on that pitch. And again, the slower pitch. He had to shuffle his feet a little bit before he received that pitch from Markison. Now third down, 3rd and 5 from the Comets' own 43.
Yeah, and this is the stand you need from Simpson right here. The crowd is behind him here for possibly the last time tonight. They got to understand that it is now or never. They got to make a play here or this game could easily be lost real quick.
Right around 26% coming into this game. Nuapa in the backfield. It's going to go to Nuapa. Now taking pitch outside and stopped there by the Redhawks. That'll send it to fourth down. They had me fooled again on that triple option. Nuapa with the full acrobatic head first dive.
Yeah, it's a great job.
Fourth down and 4.
Yeah, it's an absolutely great job by the defense. Like I said all game, they've just been swarming. No matter who it is, they know that whoever's got the ball, there's someone they're going to look to go to just a few yards away.
And it looks like they're going to maybe go for it on fourth down, but now the officials are going to motion that the Redhawks call timeout. They want to make sure they got the defense set.
And that was Casey Mina that you might have been picked up there in the broadcast. He was, what are we doing? If you heard that from the field, I got the speakers down there. You can tell that he was ready to go. Just want to make sure everyone's locked in, because that is the biggest play of the game right there. And that's the fun thing about football is as the game continues to go on, the plays become more and more important. Even if it's just a simple third or fourth down in two or three, that becomes more important than a 60-yard touchdown sometimes.
Yeah, fourth and five from the Comets' own 42. 21-17, the Redhawks are down by four with 3 minutes and 26 seconds left to play. Everything on the line right now for the Redhawks. They need to make this fourth down stand. The defense is huddled up. They're ready to take the field after this timeout. Now they will get back on the field. The Comets, they're going to go for it on fourth and five. The Redhawks have a huge shot here. This is everything you want in a Saturday night college football game under the lights from Bill Johnson Community Stadium. And they will be punting it away, actually. They send out the kicking unit.
Yeah, a little bit of it. Kind of take a breath and kind of calm down for a second there. I think I also thought they were going to go for it there. Just take a breath and understand that Simpson's going to get this ball back, barring a miracle or a fake punt or anything crazy, which I wouldn't even be surprised at this point, to be honest with you, Jacob, based off how this game has gone.
And the question is now, is it Caleb Anderson at the helm, or will it be John Romero? Anderson has had a better passing game, as this one's going to be sent away. Caught and immediately dropped. And I thought the ball came out for a split second there.
Number 39 for the Redhawks.
Or was it William?
Looks like that might be a flag on the field. Down by the 33-yard line. It's kind of blending in with the hashes, but you're hoping there was no roughing the kick or anything. Which, I know it sounds horrible, I also agree that it's unfair, but a roughing the kicker penalty would give Mayville the ball back with first down.
That would not be good at all as we await the call from the Zebras. We saw a roughing the snapper penalty earlier in this game, so we await the call here.
Personal foul, number 58. 15-yard penalty from the previous spot, automatic first down.
And it's a leaping call on 58 of Simpson. And, well, Spencer, there is that X factor protruding itself yet again.
Man, special teams has... Special teams, man. Special teams. It has gotten to the point where you shouldn't even have an offense or defense. You should build your entire team around special teams. Because Mayville just... That is the equivalent to roughing the kicker call. 15-yard penalty and the first down. That's the same thing. But definitely, leaping is not what I've actually heard of before. I would say, I'm not saying it's a bad rule. I definitely saw 58 leap over, try to get over the line. But I honestly didn't know that wasn't allowed, and that's on me. But that's just so unfortunate, and I have to start all over. And a first down could essentially ice this game as well, if played right.
Yeah, there's a lot they can do here. It's going to go to Nuapa right up the gut. We'll get a gain of about three. As we approach just outside of 3 minutes left, the Redhawks need to keep them from getting a first down before that two-minute warning.
And in what has been an absolute movie-type football game that we've seen so far, it would be absolutely disappointing and almost unfair to see it end in a QB taking a kneel and not giving that Simpson opportunity. They earned the ball and not seeing them get an opportunity to go win the game on the shoulders of a quarterback. But, penalties are part of the game, as you mentioned, and that's another one, the X factor, as you mentioned in pregame.
Nuapa again in the backfield. It's going to go right up the middle to him, stuffed by the Redhawks yet again. And that'll push him back about a yard. It's now third and nine.
And now the question is, does Sean Daniel want to call a timeout before the two-minute warning? Or are they going to take this, let it run down to the two-minute warning, and then save their two timeouts? I think they have two remaining. Save their two remaining timeouts for after.
It's third down. Now it'll be third and eight after this two-minute timeout. And, man, what a ball game. 21-17. The Redhawks are down by four. If they can get a stop here,
timeout.
They're just outside of field goal range.
Yeah, and that's another great point there, Jacob, is Mayville is just a few yards out of field goal range. If they get 3 or 4 yards here, they're not going to try the kick, but then you got to worry about, you might as well just go for it from there. It's 4th and 2, 4th and 3. You get the fourth down conversion. You get to kneel the ball twice. It's over, you know? Or they'll have their timeouts to use.
And on that fourth down, you need to watch the outside run because that's what they've been able to beat the Simpson defense with. And on that fourth down run, you need to keep them short of that first down. You need to get the ball back. And then a hurry-up offense with 2 timeouts inside of 2 minutes left to play.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen the two-minute drill countless times between the spring ball games, the showcases, as this program was brought to Simpson, announced, marketed. It's been everything new for the Red Hawks and Simpson University as a whole. And we know this team can run a hurry-up offense. We've seen it in showcases and everything.
Yeah.
So that's what we might see tonight, and if there's one thing that we want to see here, it is a V formation, but for the red jerseys, not the white jerseys.
Absolutely, and I fear we're at the point where that is kind of off the table, to be honest. If maybe they can go down and score quick and then force a turnover or something, but right now they have to go get the ball in the end zone, but first they got to get a stop, and as I mentioned just before, this is 4-down territory if I'm the head coach of Mayville, to say the least, because you have to get that ball. If you punt the ball from here, there's a very high chance they only have to go another 20, 30 yards compared to the ball's at the 35. If they get a first down, they win the game. So it's very low risk, high reward. You get a first down, you win the game. If you don't, they still have to go most of the field, 65 yards or so, just to get in the end zone with 2 timeouts and 2 minutes.
But the factor in that is the one of Talon Ramirez. And if he's not in double coverage, he should be getting the rock every time.
Absolutely.
In this scenario, 3rd and 8. This is key right here.
Yeah, and something you'll see a lot, too, with these younger and, like, this new program with these quarterbacks is they kind of force it, you know, sometimes. And hopefully Caleb got that out of his system, and we'll see who's the go.
Now it's going to be dropping back the pass over the middle. Markison is going to be just beyond the reach of number 13. It was the intended pass for number 13, Cameron Spaeth. That will also stop the clock on the incomplete pass. It's now 4th and 8, 1:55 left. Red Hawks down by 4 here in this fourth quarter.
And it is going to be a punt. This does surprise me.
You have to watch the fake here. After that onside kick, you need to watch the fake here. It is 4th and 8.
You also think, like, that would be crazy to run a fake because you have a better chance of just running it up the middle, right? Just with your offense out there. But if they're not expecting it like the onside kick, I haven't seen a fake punt in a long time, and I would not be opposed to seeing it here, but I would be sad if it worked.
And we will see here as they will be punting it away.
Make sure there's no leaping here as well.
And there it is. There's the fake punt. Trying to get the tackle, taken outside, and will get the first down.
It might have been an illegal block in the back, possibly is what I might have picked up on. It might be a bailout here, and it was the fake, as you mentioned, a fake run. I was thinking fake pass, a fake run.
An onside kick and a fake punt today. That is, never thought I was going to have that on my bingo card. Not sure what the call will be, though. Punting team walking off the field.
Result of the play is a first down. After the play, personal foul, kicking team number 29.
Personal foul comes in after the play.
For Mayville.
So it will be a first down for Mayville, and that just put the nail in the coffin for the Red Hawks. The whole coaching staff is aggravated, to say the least, at the referees because you have to assume that they do not think that's the right call.
Sorry, did they say it was a block in the back? Or what did they say the call was? Sorry,
I did not pick up on it. I just heard personal foul.
Gotcha.
We'll be 1st and 10 for the Comets, and they'll, I assume, just run out the football.
So this might be the third time, I think this is the third time we've seen the ball actually move backwards and result in a first down, which is just unfortunate, all these penalties
Very
and
rare.
Stuff like that.
And I think this is technically a reviewable play. It should be. I'm not quite sure about that. As the referees are going to gather, make sure this is the right call. But what a blow for the Red Hawks if this is, unfortunately, the result. They had the lead at half.
Mayville, their first start timeout of the half.
As Mayville will call timeout.
1 minute 44 seconds.
As the game resets to 1 minute and 44 seconds.
So if I'm not mistaken, I never say never, but I believe that Simpson University still has two of their timeouts. So it is technically not over yet, but they would get the ball with 30 seconds or so to go down the field and score if they get a stop. One first down and it is dead. The game is over and Mayville will win. But yeah, one first down is victory formation, but they do have to still get that first down. If not, then they are giving the ball back to Simpson with time on the clock. And that's now twice that Simpson has earned the ball, and then Mayville has just either gotten a penalty with that leaping, which is just really unfortunate. I don't even feel like that's... I would argue that that's not personnel issue, you know? And then just that fake punt, like, as you called it, you got to watch out for it. And they dropped back into coverage. They're all waiting. They thought it was going to be a fake pass, but just it being a run is...
Yeah, that whole line was moved up and stacked on the punt, as this one's going to go out the middle to Nuapa, and he's smothered for a loss of one. And if you're the Redhawks, you do not have a lot of air in your lungs right now, but 30 seconds is enough in this best-case scenario that Mayville calls another timeout, which is kind of... Or Simpson calls a timeout, rather, to preserve that clock. But that will be enough. 30 seconds is enough time to run at least two passing plays. And depending on if you get out of bounds or not, you have the opportunity to run another play. So a lot of out routes. Watch that inside slant to Talon Ramirez, trying to get the isolation coverage.
Yeah, and at that point, you know, it's just a home run shot, which is why I would think it would be Caleb Anderson making his way back out there. Just a little bit redemption, and you know that's what he wants for himself as well. But John Romero is also waiting for his opportunity to get the nod and go throw a ball up to none other than Talon, as you mentioned, Talon Ramirez, you'd have to assume, as we see him down here near the 40-yard line of Mayville, just almost in a prayer stance, just praying they get their chance to win this game.
A handful of the offensive guys just awaiting to get back onto that field. Dropping back the pass is Markison, looking for some receiver. He's got nothing. He's going to run far out of bounds to get tackled right around the 40. That will run the clock. He stayed in bounds. Markison just flushed out of the pocket. There was no one dropping back, or rather not dropping back, but going out on a route. He had nowhere to go to. That will be third and a bus ride.
Yeah, and it's a great heads-up play by Markson staying in bounds. If he goes out of bounds, that saves 40 seconds on the clock for Simpson. Now, you have to assume they're not even going to bother. They're just going to run this ball twice. But Simpson does not have another timeout, which I thought they did. So they're going to have like 10, 15, 20 seconds, maybe.
Third and 26, as we're inside a minute left to play. The time will wind down. Some issues with the play clock as well.
So they're going to run the ball one time here, and then there will be less than 10 seconds. They could snap the ball about 10 seconds or so, and that would be a punt with 10 seconds left in the game. That punt getting, you know, 4 or 5 seconds of air time, there's a chance that's the last play of the game is a kick return. But if it's a botched punt or it goes out of bounds, it gives you a chance to get the offense on the field and throw the ball. But you have to return the punt as well or fair catch, because if it rolls, the clock will just run out simply right there. If I'm not mistaken, it is still a 40-second play clock for college, for NAIA. I think it is a 40-second play clock still.
I mean, it does read 25, so I could be wrong. I think it changes depending on...
Because they took a timeout, I think they get their 25 seconds to regroup before snap, and then it goes back to the 40 when the clock's running.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. But then again, it's first time.
And the Redhawks hoping for a miracle. Even on a punt, I would assume they just run around in the backfield, not even punt it away, especially after the fake.
That's a good call, too. Yeah, absolutely. Kick. Make them go tackle them or run around in the backfield and then punt it. And we'll see if they move backwards on this play and try to burn 9 seconds.
And if that happens, you just hope. And now Markson is going to quarterback keeper. He's going to be tackled for a loss by Joshua De La Cruz. He's trying to punch it out. And now Markison thrown to the ground, and flags fly. A little bit of flopping there from Markison, and that's just... Now more flags. And now the frustration is starting to pour out as the bleachers over there on the Mayville State University side of things starting to get a little bit loud.
De La Cruz was trying to punch the football out on the tackle of the quarterback, Markison, who was just kind of running around in the backfield trying to burn clock, like you said, Spencer. We'll see what the call is here. It's got to be offsetting penalties. I would be surprised if it's anything else. There was a lot of extracurricular activities.
After the play, personal foul, 39 of the defense. After the play, unsportsmanlike conduct, number 0 of the defense. Both penalties are being forced. That is number 0, first unsportsmanlike of the game.
If I'm not mistaken, that's an automatic first down as well. So 1-0 will put the game away.
That is the secondary final nail in the coffin for the Redhawks. I believe that is an automatic first down.
It will be an automatic first down. So one more snap in tonight's game. And it's just unfortunate. We were worried about it at halftime, heading into the third quarter. They're going to have to score again to win this game. And that's what I believed, and it looks like that is exactly what was going to happen. Needed just to score one more, at least one more touchdown. But not much offense at all coming from him in the second half, unfortunately.
The Comets will go into V formation, and time will wind down. The Redhawks will lose this heartbreaker, a hard-fought battle, unfortunately, for the Redhawks, just not on the winning side of it. And in V formation, taking a knee is Markison. The Redhawks fight hard, but they come up just short of what would be a storybook beginning in a lot of senses of the words. And they come out of this one not on the right side of things. They were so close. They sniffed it at halftime. Spencer, you called it. They needed to score. A couple of fake plays, a couple of big plays. A lot of good things coming out of this game. 21-17.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.
The Senate rejected two competing measures to fund federal agencies for a few weeks when the new budget year begins on October 1st.
Democrats voted against the funding bill, demanding restoration of Medicaid support and action to extend subsidies under the Affordable Care Act that are now set to expire at the end of the year. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries.
Access to high-quality, affordable health care is a right, and Democrats are on the floor of the House of Representatives vindicating that right at all times.
Appropriations Committee Chairman Tom Cole responds.
Got exactly what you asked for. You asked for a clean CR. You got a clean CR.
The vote was 217 to 212. Bernie Bennett, Washington.
Correspondent Julie Walker reports a cyber attack has disrupted check-in systems at major European airports.
A cyber attack targeting check-in and boarding systems in Europe Friday night disrupts air traffic, causing delays at several of Europe's major airports Saturday, according to officials, though the initial impact seems somewhat limited. Aviation and travel expert Paul Charles says Collins Aerospace, which reported the cyber attack affecting its check-in systems, has a big problem.
Collins Aerospace is owned by RTX. It's the world's biggest defense and aviation company. Collins supplies the UK government. It supplies other governments around the world.
European airports advising flyers to check their flight status. I'm Julie Walker.
One person was killed and others injured in a shooting at the Sky Meadow Country Club in Nashua, New Hampshire last night. Some of the injuries were gunshot wounds. Others were injuries sustained in the chaos. New Hampshire Assistant Attorney General Peter Hinckley said at a Saturday news conference they didn't know how many people were injured. No one's been arrested, but one person of interest has been detained as the investigation is ongoing. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com.
We all know the importance of good daily habits, whether it's getting outside, getting your steps in, stretching those limbs, or eating right. Doing it on the regular is key. That's why if you're dealing with everyday aches and pains, it's time to bring Relief Factor into your life. Head over to ReliefFactor.com or give them a call at 800-4-RELIEF and get their 3-week quick start for just $19.95. Relief Factor is the daily supplement that fights pain naturally. Developed by a team of doctors, it uses a special formula of 4 natural ingredients. Relief Factor doesn't just mask the pain, it helps reduce or eliminate it. In fact, the longer you take Relief Factor, the more effective it is to get your days going without any pain. Sleep would get you out of pain by taking their 3-week quick start. It's only $19.95, less than a dollar a day. Simply call 800-4-RELIEF. 800, the number 4-RELIEF. Wherever you're having pain, neck, shoulders, hips, knees, don't let it keep you from living the life you want to live. Make Relief Factor part of your daily routine. Go to ReliefFactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800, the number 4-RELIEF.
The government is providing more details on President Trump's no taxes on tips. Correspondent Donna Warder reports.
The Treasury Department has submitted proposed regulations on President Donald Trump's no tax on tips promise to the Federal Register. The no tax on tips provision in the Republicans' tax and spending laws allows certain workers to deduct up to $25,000 in qualified tips per year. The deduction phases out for taxpayers with a modified adjusted gross income of $150,000. Donna Warder, Washington.
Tropical storm Gabrielle is expected to become the second hurricane of the Atlantic season this weekend. An advisory board from the National Hurricane Center says Gabrielle expected to pass to the east of Bermuda Sunday night and Monday. Forecasters say the storm is now packing top winds of 60 miles per hour, about 540 miles southeast of Bermuda. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. As fall officially arrives on Monday, day and night will get equal time for a brief moment as the equinox arrives.
The Earth will experience about the same amount of day and night on Monday when the autumnal equinox arrives. From there, the northern hemisphere will plunge into fall as nights get ever longer, and the southern hemisphere will head to summer. Solstices are the opposite. They happen in December and March when the Earth is tilted most strongly toward or away from the sun. So day and night are very different lengths. Keith Peters, Washington.
Still mourning the loss of its co-founder and leader, Turning Point USA looks to the future. In a unanimous vote, Charlie Kirk's widow will take the helm at Turning Point USA. Erica Kirk is the obvious choice by Turning Point's board of directors. The board said in prior discussions, Charlie expressed to multiple executives that this is what he wanted in the event of his death. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right, even cooking sometimes,
people, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up, fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Fox News Radio Studios in Midtown Manhattan, giving you opinions and facts with a positive outlook. It's Brian Kilmeade.
Hi, everyone. It's going to be a big hour. Welcome to you to 48th and 6th in Midtown Manhattan, but we're around the world, not just in New York. Pierre DeBoss is going to be with us, managing partner of Romer DeBoss. He's going to give us an idea with this housing market. Can it get out frozen with the rate cut? Can we start getting houses at a different rate? Can we start getting mortgages at a rate in which we're not going to feel as if we're leaving money on the table with our interest rates? So many people are not moving because they have 3% interest rates on their mortgage. Why would I do that and have a 6% on a house maybe I don't necessarily have to move into? So why it keeps everything frozen? We have that rate cut. We're supposed to get two more. What is it doing for the housing market? What could they actually do to unfreeze it? And what about this New York City mayoral race when he talks about freezing rents? What's that going to do for landlords? Andrew K. Smith is going to be with us today. He's got 500 restaurants. He's the ultimate entrepreneur, and he was the last man to interview Charlie Kirk. Within an hour of their interview, Charlie Kirk would be dead. His reflections on that, it'll be a special on Fox Nation. Also, we have some cuts from that interview. Josh Krashauer is standing by from Fox News Radio, his political analyst. So let's get to the big three.
Number three.
I think he's a very fine guy. He's more liberal than me. I think he should take a very strong stand on the immigration. It's really hurting him badly.
Yep, day three, that three-day journey in the U.K., the jaunt was a spectacular success. Now, today, pressure on the president as he talks with President Xi. TikTok, is this going to be a done deal? And if the deal gets done,
Will the algorithm be sold with it? Because if it stays in China, you might as well have just left it intact.
Number two.
I haven't read the former vice president's book, and she's going to have to answer to how she was in the room and yet never said anything publicly. I was extremely vocal with his staff about my concerns about his fitness to be able to run for another term.
Yeah, what about his fitness to run the country, Governor Shapiro? Family fracture. Kamala's book could do more damage than she thought possible to her own career as the release date nears and excerpts are leaked out. Now in the crosshairs, Josh Shapiro, Mayor Pete, Joe Biden, and the chief of staff of the President Biden speaks out, didn't take the fifth, and Job's not going to like what he hears if he, in fact, can understand it.
Number one.
We as entrepreneurs, everyone in this room, I think it's one of the things that makes this country so exceptional and important.
I agree.
Because it creates new wealth. It's new risk in the marketplace. And it's that constant competition is always refining us towards a better version of success.
And that is the voice of Charlie Kirk in his last interview. By the way, the memorial for Charlie is 2 days away. We're going to look at the stadium, sold out. We will find out more about the assassin, his partner, and the chances that others are involved. We know this about the investigation. The transgender roommate of Kirk's assassin was previously kicked out of his parents' house over issues surrounding substance abuse, gender identity, and persistent video game addiction. Lance Twiggs, what a delight. Josh Krashauer joins us now. Josh, welcome.
Hey, Brian, good to be back with you.
Hey, Josh, could you put in perspective what these last 2 weeks have been, last week and a half have been like? As more people like Ilhan Omar, Jasmine Crockett in the entertainment world, Jimmy Kimmel, are being skewered by the way they're handling this assassination.
Yeah, well, it goes to show that, like, the information ecosystem that a lot of the left-wing, the blue sky progressives are consuming is filled with lots of misinformation and just a total disconnect from just the political violence that Charlie Kirk fell to. It's kind of depressing, frankly, Brian, just to see some of the reaction and not have the kind of empathy and compassion you would normally expect. But look, I the bar has gotten very low these days, and so very little surprises me anymore.
I just want people to hear Ilhan Omar, who didn't get censured, four Republicans decided not to do it. They're going to remove her from her committee assignments. Cut five.
Charlie was someone who was willing to debate and downplay the death of George Floyd. There are a lot of people who are out there talking about him just wanting to have a civil debate.
A complete rewriting of history.
Yeah, there is nothing more effed up. These people are full of shit, and it's important for us to call them out.
I mean, everything she says is astoundingly naive and ignorant and anti-American, and that's just another one.
Well, and it's tasteless, too. And it's not, by the way, Brian, as you know, it's not the first time Ilhan Omar has gotten in trouble and has faced possible censure for her comments, anti-Semitic comments, all about the Benjamins early on in her congressional career, and it's been a pattern with her rhetoric across her tenure in Congress. So, I mean, again, low bar. This is someone who has made a habit of saying the most insensitive and offensive things, and yet, it actually was a handful of Republican members of Congress who ended up preventing Omar from being censured. Some of the folks that have been more on the kind of the right wing side, but that ended up preventing that censure from actually happening.
I want to get to things that are important, like not shutting down the government. But instead of talking about that yesterday, maybe working on some bipartisan agreement of a continuing resolution until they can fully fund it in November, all we heard about was Jimmy Kimmel, the martyr. How dare Donald Trump, who was basically tied up in the UK. We pretty much saw him on camera for the last 3 days, not affecting Jimmy Kimmel directly. Jimmy Kimmel, who since 2022 had 61 Democratic guests, 2 conservatives, 97% of all his guests are liberal. So it clearly is basically a show that belongs on MSNBC, but so what? It's done. And among the people that said, start talking about things that matter is Senator Fetterman. He just came out and said, stop talking about Jimmy Kimmel. Let's just talk about what things are going to help the country. But listen to what the Democrats did yesterday. Cut 17.
This is just the latest chapter in Donald Trump's ongoing campaign to crack down on free speech.
We saw the government step up and give a hard shove
And then we saw a compliant company turn around and suspend Mr. Kimmel.
This is so serious, Aaron. America is a less free place if late-night comedians cannot do and say what they want.
When I see you are wearing a hat, what does that hat say?
You're damn right I am, John. I was a guest on the Jimmy Kimmel Show.
This moment, know that our democracy is on the line.
By the way, what a great booking. Give that booker a raise. You got Swalwell on a late-night show? Wow. So he's going to wear a souvenir hat on television. So that's it. I looked at what Senator Fetterman said. He said everything is just a national freakout. If a late-night host got put on hiatus, that's a national freakout. If we shut down the government, there's a serious national freakout. I don't think we need a shutdown right now. It's wrong. But at least we should work on that. So what was it like? I mean, look at what Washington was doing yesterday. It's like there are no other issues in the world. Jimmy Kimmel's future.
Yeah, that, you know, that's an interesting juxtaposition, Brian, that we are at the verge, perhaps, of a government shutdown later this month. And the conversation in a lot of media circles has been the shutdown of Jimmy Kimmel's TV show. Now, look, I think the Democrats, they're definitely thinking that they have an issue here. And look, I think a lot of folks in the administration, from Pam Bondi, who normally has been pretty on message, but her comment that, you know, the Trump administration may be going after hate speech, she ended up walking that back. And then you had the FCC commissioner, sounded like he was, you know, threatening
not helpful.
The market is going to fix this stuff. I mean, the audiences, we've talked about this before. You know, Colbert was losing on CBS, was losing $40 million, I believe, or tens of millions of dollars. And there's a market aspect to this where a lot of these shows are losing audience. They're not getting conservative viewers. And that's going to work itself out. I think the overt government, you know, FCC commissioner, attorney general, kind of making threats about speech or what broadcasters can put on their airwaves. That's not, I mean, I think that's giving Democrats an opportunity, and they seemingly took that. And I expect you're not going to be hearing the last of it in the coming days.
No doubt about it. Just real quick, before we go, the chance of a shutdown?
I think it's pretty high. Chuck Schumer, I think, may have gotten burned by his base after deciding not to shut down the government that the last didn't pass. It was interesting. John Fetterman was on Fox earlier this week, and he said he was he was going against many of his Democratic colleagues, wants to make sure the government stays open. But I don't think many other Democrats in his party are following suit. And if you don't have the 60 votes, it's going to be very difficult. So I think we're going to have a grinded out process, and we may end up having a shutdown.
And then who gets blamed? Who's going to get the blame?
Well, I think it only helps the Democratic base. It doesn't help the Democratic Party. We've seen this before in government shutdowns past, that if you're in the minority, you don't have the power. You don't have the influence. So I do think if this gets drawn out, I think the Trump administration is perfectly fine to see the consequences of what would happen if the Democrats don't give Republicans the votes to keep the government open and see the political consequences. So this could get drawn out for some time if we end up not going through this process.
Yep, and you'll be chronicling it all. Josh Krashauer, thanks so much. Coming up next, Andrew K. Smith. He was the last one to interview Charlie Kirk. What was that like? What can we expect tonight on the Fox Nation special that's available now on Charlie's last interview? Don't move.
Miss the show? Have to tune out early? No problem. Download the podcast at BrianKilmeadeShow.com. Every episode, exclusive interviews on demand. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as $1 a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. We're dedicated to serving people 50 and up, like me. Our needs are different. Big Wireless wants us in an unlimited plan. But if you're not using all that data, you're probably getting used. At Consumer Cellular, we're focused on affordable, reliable plans, including data that suits your needs, not ours. Our plans start at just $20, and you'll get the best customer service in the business.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/facts. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
Attention retirement savers. A top U.S. bank predicts a 2025 recession as tariffs rattle markets. According to reports, 2025 recession risk just increased significantly. That's why thousands of hardworking Americans are turning to award-winning precious metals company, Goldco. Goldco is offering you a free 2025 gold and silver kit. Plus, you can get an unlimited instant match and bonus silver for qualified accounts. Call 855-969-GOLD. Find out how you can help diversify your savings, tax and penalty-free today. That's 855-969-GOLD. Performance may vary. You should always consult your financial and tax professional.
Are you having trouble hearing? Hearing loss can devastate the quality of your life. Now, there's an affordable fix for you or your loved one. Rated the best hearing aids of 2025 by Forbes Health, Audion Hearing has the highest quality hearing aids at the lowest prices, starting at just $98 a pair.
I actually like them better than my old $5,000 hearing aids.
I could not believe how my hearing and life changed.
Join over 1 million happy customers by going to audionhearing.com. That's AudienHearing.com.
It's Fox Wheels.
After an incentive-fueled surge in Q2, car buying traffic declined in Q3, along with dealer profitability, when new vehicle inventory rose sharply, with overall new car market prices trending up to about $50,000 into September. Used car prices also seeing gains. There has been increased interest in EVs for now, that ahead of the expiration of federal tax credits by the end of September. The Trump administration is making it easier for autonomous vehicle technology companies like Tesla and Waymo to move ahead with their advanced robo-taxi systems, removing some requirements that are meant for human-controlled vehicles. The Department of Transportation and Highway Traffic Safety Administration now proposing some new rules aimed at relaxing mandates that make it hard for cars without manual controls like brake pedals, steering wheels, and gear shift levers to take the roads. That's Fox Wheels. I'm Jeff Manasso, Fox News.
This is House Call for Health. We recently talked about hot summers and the importance of staying hydrated. But there's a wearable hydration monitor that could help prevent heat stroke. Researchers at the University of Texas Austin developing a non-invasive device that continuously measures hydration levels in real time and then transmits that info wirelessly to a smartphone. Study leader Professor Nanshu Liu says dehydration is a silent threat that affects millions of people every day. And the monitor empowers individuals to take proactive steps to stay healthy and perform at their best. Fox News Digital says the sensors use a method called bioimpedance, which sends a small, safe electrical current through the body via strategically placed electrodes. But like always, the best way to stay hydrated, be sure to drink plenty of fluids, especially during those summer scorchers. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
One of the forgotten players in the Watergate scandal that brought down the Nixon administration was Democrat Speaker of the House Carl Albert of Oklahoma. Standing only 5'4", he was known as the Little Giant from Little Dixie. In 1992, Albert recalled meeting future presidents Nixon and Kennedy on his first day of Congress.
Nixon walked across from the Republican side of the aisle and shook hands with me and asked me if he had a college contest similar to the high school, and I won that one. And he asked me if I was the one who won that contest. I said, yes. He said, well, he tried out for it later on, but he didn't get that far. John Kennedy came over to me and introduced himself, and he said, are you the Oklahoma boy that was a Rhodes Scholar? I said, yes. He said, well, I met several Rhodes Scholars. So I met them both the first day.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk. Talk show that's getting you talking. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
The point being is that we as entrepreneurs, everyone in this room, I think it's one of the things that makes this country so exceptional and important.
I agree.
Because it creates new wealth. It's new risk in the marketplace. And it delivers for the consumer, the customer, and the citizen new ideas, better products, and it's that constant competition is always refining us towards a better version of success.
So that is, of course, Charlie Kirk, but he's speaking to Andrew K. Smith, restaurateur, co-founder, and managing director of the Savory Fund, and the last person to interview Charlie Kirk, a man he got introduced to through, because he knows Charlie Kirk's cousin, and Charlie Kirk was coming into town and says, why don't you do an interview with me first? He does it at the Entrepreneur Conference, that Charlie Kirk is really an entrepreneur too, as he grew up, Turning Point. And Andrew, you had no idea that day would be Charlie's last interview. What's it like hearing that just now?
Yeah, it's still surreal. I mean, I'm still kind of grappling with it. I think that my team is too. I think that the people that were in the audience, we had 550 people in the audience listening to this interview. I don't think any of us knew how to process it. I think we're still trying to figure out how to process it, but it's hard to hear when you say that too, because it was just a week ago. I mean,
right.
It's hard to understand.
The last interview is available now on Fox Nation, right?
It is, yes.
It lasts how long?
34 minutes. And I could have talked to him for hours. It was that easy to talk to that guy.
And I'm sure he's very interested in you and how you did it.
Yeah.
You got 500 plus restaurants in your fund and the people in the audience and how they did it.
Yeah.
And he talked about the risks that they took. In what way was he like you guys?
Yeah, I think that, you know, entrepreneurial endeavors is really kind of the great equilibrium, right? For all backgrounds, political backgrounds, opinions, ethnicities, doesn't really matter. Entrepreneurship is in all segments of the industry, right? So for us, when we were talking to him, it was easy to talk to him about his entrepreneurial journey because it all applied to everybody that was in the audience as well.
And you didn't really know anything about him, but the more you learned about him, the more you liked him, because you maybe had some preconceived notions.
Sure, I did.
Another conservative guy that thinks that Trump is great, and I don't know how many of my audience is not going to like that.
Yeah.
So it's a risk for you when you have a conference to bring in any idea on.
It was a total risk. And initially, when Brian is his cousin, Brian is the president of one of our companies, Houston Hot Chicken, around the country. And he said, hey, listen, why don't you talk to Charlie? And I'm like, isn't he kind of divisive? Isn't it? He's like, well, you know, maybe, but you should talk to him because he's really built a great business. I had a Zoom call with him. We talked for 45 minutes. And at the end of it, I said, man, I'm really impressed with your entrepreneurial mind. Your business mind is fascinating to me. And what you've built, too, you have 1,000 employees. That's a good-sized business in America, right?
Absolutely.
And 100-plus million in revenue and all the different things he's doing. He wasn't doing just TPUSA, Turning Point USA. He was doing so many other things, and I didn't know that.
Neither did I. What was he doing?
He was doing real estate. He was making investments into crypto and crypto companies. He's made investments into funds. He was telling me he was investing into a bunch of different things. And then he had a couple new projects he was going to be launching later this year that were new business initiatives too that I will let his team talk about. But at the end of the day, I'm like, boy, your mind is like any other entrepreneur. And that is, you're gritty, you're passionate, you're excited. That was what I was really impressed with. And I said, you need to come tell that story at my conference because we all learn from each other as entrepreneurs. And he said, I would love to. And when people heard him, at the end of it, they're like, I had no idea. And that's why with Fox Nation having it right now, you can see the real Charlie Kirk like I did, and everyone should watch it.
Yeah, here's another clip. Let's try Eric Cut 8.
The more I spend in the economy, both as an analyst and actually as a participant, the more I realize that so much of this is psychological, that if people believe things will be better, they will be better. You guys are the top, like the biggest one-to-one correlation of that statement that I could imagine.
I agree with that.
Either people eat out because they think things are good or they do not think things are good, right? And so I would say that the more that we can cheerlead the economy, the better. And the more that we can say that it's good, the more that it will be good. I would much rather be the United States than continental Europe right now. I would much rather be the United States than a lot of these other countries.
So that's true, right?
It's incredible, right?
It's like that's a mindset.
It's a mindset. And I think that it's all about optimism, though, right? I mean, if we can be optimistic and we can push that off into others that are in the economy will start turning around because people will feel like, you know, things are actually not too bad here. It's a mindset. And he's way beyond his years to even say that because it's true. It's a momentum thing right now. If you think it's bad, it's going to be bad.
Back to real life. His team had to go. And they go out the back door, and they're gone. How did you get word that he's been shot? How did you find out that he died?
Yeah, he and I took a picture in the back, and he said, you know, it was a lot of fun. I would love to do this again. I love the entrepreneurial journey that I was able to share, but I also liked the vibe that I got in that room with the other entrepreneurs. It was very unifying in there, and it was apolitical, the whole conversation. And so as he was standing back there, he said, hey, let's snap a pic. We took a pic together, and he said, let's talk after my event. Walked out the back stairwell, got into the Suburban, and left. It was a 40-minute drive down to Utah Valley University. I know that he was shot at 12:23, I think is what it was. He left me at 11:21 a.m., so it was under an hour.
And did you have to tell your audience?
We did. We walked out and we actually announced it just because we knew that people would find out the wrong way. And so we announced it. And yeah, it was a deafening silence and some gasps. And I think everybody was just like, he was just here on our stage laughing and having fun and sharing wisdom that he had. It was wild, Brian.
What about for you, knowing you're the last person he interviewed with?
Yeah, I think I'm still a little bit in shock, and I think that I'm going to have to figure out how to get through some of those feelings, but I'm reeling a little bit, and I keep telling my wife and some of my team members that I'm like just trying to understand how close we all are to death if we're not careful, and how we really do judge each other in America for the wrong things, because if people would have really known what we saw at that conference and what we heard for those 34 minutes, I think people's opinion would have changed of them.
Is that, you know what I also feel, part of me, what a waste.
What a
like
waste.
The world needed him to live.
Yeah, we need people like him across the board, people that are going to be bullish like him and optimistic, and he was all that. I mean, the whole time we talk, and you'll see it in the interview that Fox is releasing, he is so optimistic and forward-thinking, and I don't think that he really wanted to just make everyone feel the optimism mm-hmm. he had, and he did.
Right. And by talking to people, it just removes a lot of the obstacles where people just say, I don't want to talk to him. He's a Republican. I don't want to talk to
That's
him.
Right.
He's a Democrat. And all of a sudden, but no, I want to talk to you. And then you engage and they listen. And if you listen, you could actually try to win people over. That was his goal. Prove
that was his
wrong.
Whole goal. And he accomplished it.
Andrew K. Smith, the restaurateur, entrepreneur, but he's going to be known for a long time as Charlie Kirk's last interview. It is on Fox Nation right now. Andrew, it's great to get to know you. And
good
thanks
to know
so
you
much
too.
For sharing the interview with us and our audience.
Thank you, Brian.
Don't move.
Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Back to school specials are here at Charlou's Tap House. Feed the whole family with a large shoe topping pizza, big fresh salad, and a basket of breadsticks, all for just $48. And hey, don't forget to book your kids' birthday party in our adventure room. They'll make their own pizzas, jump in the bounce house, and play in the arcade. Or let them play while you relax and dine. Parents, we've got you covered too. Happy hour, 7 days a week from 3 to 6 p.m. Enjoy the beer wall for 25% off and deals on appetizers. Stop by Charlou's, located at 1901 Highway 273 in the Shasta Gateway. Charlou's Tap House, where family traditions begin.
Smoke and sap, dirt and grime, leaves, and pollen, and even bugs. Just a few things that can possibly damage your vehicle's paint over time, causing it to pit, fade, and oxidize, basically ruining your paint job. Quick and Clean Car Wash can help. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash. But they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck. Quick and Clean Car Wash also offers car wash packages. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
You remember when quality mattered more and people advertised low prices? When craftsmanship wasn't just a buzzword, but a way of life. At Cascade Curations, they never forgot. Their hand-selected collections honor that American tradition and the quality you grew up with. Quality clothing and low prices, just like they used to make them. Come see their showroom of men's and women's clothing across from Jack's Grill on California Street. And as always, they have free parking for their customers. Go by and see for yourself. Cascade Curations.
Most everyone knows that Orchard Nutrition Center has a big selection of vitamins and supplements, a fresh bakery and deli, organic groceries, and certified organic produce from Shasta County and surrounding areas. What I know is, my mom loves shopping at Orchard Nutrition Center. Her motto, you are what you eat. If you eat healthy, you'll be healthy. She says that all the time. Personally, I believe her. As a kid, I like things that are sweet. So when she comes home with farm fresh local fruit, trust me, it's sweet. Mom loves all the local veggies. And Dad, he likes meat. Orchard carries locally grown, 100% grass-fed beef. So guess what? Dad's even eating healthy, and he doesn't even know it. If you haven't been to Orchard Nutrition, you owe it to yourself and the ones you love. Just remember what my mom says. You are what you eat. If you eat healthy, you'll be healthy. It all starts at Orchard Nutrition Center in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. Open 7 a.m. to 9 p.m., 7 days a week.
Refresh your garden at Turtle Bay Garden Nursery's Fall Plant Sale on Saturday, October 4th. Save 20 to 30% on native and drought-tolerant plants, all propagated on site and ready to thrive in our climate. Turtle Bay members get early access on Saturday, October 4th from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. with the sale open to the public from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at 1100 Arboretum Drive at the west entrance of the gardens. Turtle Bay's Fall Plant Sale, Saturday, October 4th. Learn more at turtlebaynursery.org.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
After his shift, Jonathan returned to Dory's house as promised and not only mowed her lawn, but helped clear debris and cleaned her gutters. Officer Cox then spent 2 days helping Dory out. Dory was so touched by Jonathan's selfless act, she called the police chief to praise Officer Cox and said he did it out of the kindness of his heart. Jonathan says he feels blessed to be able to help those in his community personally and professionally. Janice Dean, Fox News.
Make your head spin. It's Brian Kilmeade.
I think what put me over the top was this discussion about Donald Trump inserting himself into our local election. That's probably what made me even more committed to work with, to know that I could work with an individual who will stand up to Donald Trump shoulder to shoulder with me.
What an idiotic rationalization for deciding to endorse the front runner right now in the mayoral election, Zohran Mamdani, an avowed socialist that people listen to what he says. He sounds more like a Marxist, and he's not running from the socialist platform to the point where he's got the chairman of the Democratic Committee in New York says, I will not endorse the guy. So even if he wins, the Democratic Party is not going to be behind him, and he doesn't seem to care. If you do care, if you're an investor in the city, if you live in the city, if you know his anti-cop attitude, anti-law enforcement beliefs, Pierre DeBoss feels that way. He's managing partner of Romer DeBoss. And Pierre, you're a real estate expert, can really understand how it's going to affect us here financially. First off, the governor just basically acquiesced. I don't agree with him in a lot of things, but since he's going to fight against President Trump, I'll be for him. It makes no sense.
It makes zero sense. And the problem is that you're having local politicians more fixated on the White House and the issues that we have in our state and city. So for Hochul to have that as such a factor in backing him, and the irony is, Brian, that he didn't reciprocate and back her for a re-election.
He did not endorse her.
Hysterical, right? I mean, karma, and it's well deserved. But the mere fact that that's the impetus for why you're backing him, you should be backing the mayor because you believe they're going to be great for the greatest city on the planet. That's why you should be backing the mayor, because you believe in them. We're riddled with issues in this city. For that to be the predominant reason you're backing him is absolutely ridiculous.
All right, here's Mamdani when asked about endorsing Hochul.
Are you supporting Hochul for re-election? And if so, are you worried that her supporting you is actually going to hurt her among swing voters next year?
You know, I tease you about being an immigrant father, about asking me about the thing beyond the thing.
My focus is on November, and I'm excited to have the governor's support in that fight for November as we make it clear that we can put the days of City Hall and Albany being at war in the past.
Right. What the hell did that mean? I'm an immigrant father. I look forward to November. I am not endorsing Governor Hochul. Why? Because the person primarying her is to the left, the lieutenant governor. And that's what he is, way to the left. So Gillibrand, nothing. Schumer, nothing. Akeem Jeffries, nothing. Why? Because they understand your job. Your jobs are going to be affected. Have they already been affected with people projecting what it's going to be like with him as mayor?
You know, I wouldn't say they've been affected just yet, but everybody, the level of anxiety is an all-time high. And you're seeing this because right now, you know, unfortunately, the radical left has gone from socialism to communism. This guy's a communist. You know, like, let's just put it out there. He's a flat-out communist.
He doesn't like capitalism.
He doesn't like capitalism, doesn't like the police. I don't know how he thinks he's going to work with the billionaires, which he claims. He doesn't believe billionaires should exist, but I'm going to work with the billionaires to help improve the city. It's completely illogical and belligerent. Now, the problem is socialism is a seventh grade experiment, right? In seventh grade class, we take social studies and we talk about socialism. You don't apply socialism to the most important city in the world. You just don't do that. This city is based on the hardest working people. It's based on capitalism. It's based on fruits of your labor. You come here. Every immigrant came to New York City in the 70s and 80s. They worked their butts off. I'm a prime example of that. My parents were immigrants that came here in the 70s. They worked tremendously hard and gave me a phenomenal opportunity. And that's the American dream. And that's the beauty of New York City. This place is a melting pot. It's not a place for having a socialist regime. And I joke and I call it democratic communism, right? There is a democratic communist. So I just think that this is – I am befuddled how New Yorkers could actually be supporting this. And I'm praying that people go out there and vote in November and the younger generation doesn't dominate the election and get this guy in power.
So if someone says, by the way, can you tell the audience where you made your name in real estate? Like what do you buy? Where have you found your success?
So I co-founded a law firm in 2011 when I was about 30 years old, a real estate law firm. I'm a real estate attorney. I've been doing this for 20 years. I partnered up with my dear friend, Michael Romer, and we started a business as two attorneys, two kids that, you know, were dumb enough not to know what we didn't know. And we worked tremendously hard. We worked tirelessly for the last 14 years and built one of the largest real estate practices in America. Today we're sitting about 28 attorneys, close to 50 people total. We're annually ranked in the top five in New York City based on volume of real estate transactions handled in the city. And our practice has expanded nationally. And it's a great story to the testament of hard work and the fruits and benefits of capitalism.
Commercial or residential?
Both.
And what do you think, for example, how's the market right now? The president knows and everyone acknowledges, Republicans and Democrats, that it seems like the housing market's frozen. We watched the chairman of the Fed come out and say, we don't have enough houses. So what do you think?
I mean, you look at the stats in the last 2 years, you had back-to-back years of 30-year low in transaction volume in the housing market in America. So it's a crisis. It's not a problem. It's a flat-out crisis because I always say majority of Americans, they buy a home. Buying a home is American dream, right? Buying a home is the predominant way for your average American to build wealth in their lives. The barrier to entry is so high right now that it is completely impossible for your average American to afford a home. You had home prices go up over 50% during the pandemic until today. You've had now mortgage rates triple. Low rates fueled a lot of the appreciation of the housing market and a lot of the demand. Now these rates, who's transacting? The affluent, right? So if you really care about income inequality and the divide in society, why don't you help bring down rates to help the affordability issue, to help your average American build some wealth? Because if you don't do that, what's the future going to look like for these people? It's not a bright future.
So how do you jar the market? How do you rattle the market in a positive way? So you said if Mr. and Mrs. Johnson, middle class America, they just say it's time for me to buy my first house or move to a bigger house. They walked into the bank right now and they have a great credit rating. What kind of interest rate could they expect to pay?
I mean, right now the 30-year fix was in the low sixes yesterday, which is, again, a 3-year low. And that's a testament to rates coming down. You know, the Fed funds rate doesn't directly impact mortgage rates. That's more tied to the 10-year treasury. But it does have an indirect, you know, correlation between the two. And you saw that yesterday, Brian. Like, you saw a quarter point reduction by the Fed, which is really nominal in reality. That brought down mortgage rates to 3-year low. We need to get those rates down. You know, like, if they're in the 6% range, it's not enough. Like, you need 100 basis point reduction to improve affordability.
And they said there'll be another one in December and then another one maybe earlier in the year. Would that be the type of schedule that you entrepreneurs, you real estate people will be liking?
Yeah, I mean, look, I would have liked to seen 50 basis points yesterday. I wasn't holding my breath because, you know, inflation's not where they want it to be. And quite
they're worried about the labor market.
They're worried about the labor market, which is not good, right? You know, but Jerome Powell's scared of his own shadow. He's not going to take any aggressive move that could increase inflation. But you're right. The impetus for this was the poor labor stats. But if you have a world where you can get to a rate environment of 4.5 to 5%,
right,
you improve employment. Stock market's at a record high. Every day breaks another record high. That's three factors. Lowering debt service, increasing employment and job stability, and record highs of liquidity. That's a perfect storm for the housing market, right? That will help free up inventory. That'll get people off the sidelines. That will help people transact again. The problem is the competition. That's my fear, is that your average American's competing with affluent second home buyers and investors. You have to help create federal programs that create development and supply limited to first-time home buyer demographic and certain income demographics to help these people not have to compete against conglomerates.
Well, that's so interesting, because are you someone, I think it's Blackstone or BlackRock, that keeps buying up all these houses?
They all are. Of Wall Street.
So they're buying neighborhoods, they're redoing the houses, and they're selling them. They're in control of them, but it wipes out me selling my house, right?
Yeah, I mean, about it. If you're going in and you're saying, okay, I have 10% to put down, I need to get a mortgage for 90%, I'm going to live with a 5.5% interest rate, and then all of a sudden an institutional bank comes in and says, okay, we'll pay 5% above this guy, we'll pay cash. Who are you going with? They've acquired millions of homes. I mean, I do think
that there should be some type of federal law against that?
I think that they should be forced to sell all the homes that they bought within the next 2 years.
Do you think it's unethical?
Yes, absolutely. I don't think housing should be considered
a commodity.
You wouldn't
do that?
No.
And you could.
Absolutely. I do not think housing, especially for your average American, if they're buying homes $300,000 to $400,000.
And you're only letting me lease them. So if I go to a Blackstone or BlackRock home and I go in there and I like to buy, they go, no, we're not looking for you to buy. You can rent.
We want to get an ROI on you every single day, and we're going to have our price homes appreciated on an annual basis. I said, you want to live in a world in 10 years from now when everybody's renting a home from Goldman Sachs? That's not the society we want to create. So I definitely do think, I mean, look, I'm all for capitalism. Within reason, right? I do think that you have an existential crisis when it comes to housing if this is not addressed now. It needs to be addressed today. If you have reasonable regulation that limits Wall Street's ability to acquire single-family homes, and you free up and you allow the American people to have the ability to enter the market, I think that's phenomenal for society and something that's beyond reasonable.
So, okay, you're in New York City where the real estate's the most expensive in the country, perhaps, per capita. But there's people listening to us right now around the country who want maybe a work, you know, want a house worth maybe $300,000 or $500,000 home, but they don't exist. Would you be for any – Kamala Harris talked about this. We're for building 200,000 homes with this type of government. Should the government play a role in any way, whether it's tax breaks or actual investment in some building of homes to give people an opportunity to get that house?
Yeah, absolutely. So I wrote a great op-ed on this, basically talking about government programs incentivize developers to develop housing for the medium income level.
Well,
what kind of incentivize
developers?
Tax breaks. That's it. You know, waive half of capital gains for that demographic, and then have deed restrictions. So my theory was that if you incentivize developers, saying, okay, instead of selling to an institution, instead of building, you know, say the average medium price of a home in that neighborhood, that take any neighborhood, is $450,000. Don't go build a $1 million home. Go build $450,000 homes, and we'll cut half your gains tax bill if you do that. And in conjunction, put a deed restriction that whoever buys this home has to be a primary occupant for the next 20 years. So that way, you can't have somebody going in there and flipping these properties and taking advantage of these programs. So you solidify the stability that this house can only be owned by a primary occupant for 2 decades. You provide a developer with a significant tax break to incentivize them to do this. And furthermore, I think that Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae should be offering preferential programs and loan products to borrowers below certain income levels.
Right. I thought that is their mandate.
They do an incredible job of supporting affordable housing. Their initiative of affordable housing is great. It could be better. We can improve.
Got it. So we have this mayor comes in and says, I'm going to freeze the rents because I think New Yorkers got to be affordable for all New Yorkers. Now play this out. Play out this.
So if you freeze rents, now where are you going to have anybody have the desire to invest a dollar in New York City in terms of development of properties? Forget, I'm not talking about single townhouses, co-ops, or condos. I mean apartment buildings. You've already created dilapidated housing. Brian, you know we have about 100,000 units of rent-stabilized properties that are not on the market. They're just sitting there vacant and completely dilapidated because the economics don't make sense for the landlords to put them out on the market at the horrifically low rents that the city's requiring them to put them out on. It makes no sense. The landlord's saving money by keeping them empty. If you had a reasonably...
Can you back up a second?
Yes.
So you're saying right now there are buildings out there with empty apartments.
That's right.
Why would you keep that? Why is it better for them financially to keep those apartments empty?
Because it could be a rent of like $600.
Okay.
And $600 a month does not cover the cost of, or the landlord of operating that apartment. You have to improve it, right? You have to improve the property. That's $20,000, $30,000, $50,000, right? You have to pay electric on it. You have to pay utilities. I mean, it just insurance. It doesn't make sense
financially.
And
we're already dealing with this now before he gets in.
That's right.
Rent freezes.
Well, this is a ripple effect of, you know, like I always say, we've already had a socialist mayor in New York City. Let's make no joke about it. Bill de Blasio was a raging socialist, and we had 8 years of this, and I'm still baffled today how he got elected twice. He created this mess by changing the rent regulations in 2019. It was the most sweeping change in rent regs we've had in New York City history. And what it did is that it completely disincentivized landlords to improve properties because they could never get an ROI on the improvement given how the city changed the amortization of the rent increases in conjunction with improvement. Now, this guy comes in and freezes rents, right? The problem is it's going to take whatever issue you have today and compound it by 10. So think about it this way, right? I always say to create 100,000 affordable housing units, how long will that take? That'll take a long time. How many buildings do you have to build to get 100,000 units? You can free it up in a year or 2 years if you change this regulatory environment to something that actually makes sense. But if you have this communist coming in and he comes in and he compounds the problem by saying, you know what, this isn't enough. I'm going to freeze rents, right? Which is really all false nonsense to go garner votes with all of the free stuff he's promising people that has no reality of actually happening. I'm going to go freeze rents. Then, okay, fine. Number one, you just took the value of these buildings from already declined by 50%. You've completely started the valuation of them. Completely started the valuation. You've disincentivized every developer and investor of properties in America for wanting to put a dollar in New York City. And then what happens? Actually, I was in one of your Fox News articles talking about how this is actually intentional. It's destruction by design. Though they want to bring down the value to peanuts, to pennies on the dollar, so the government can acquire these properties and create socialized housing. That's his goal. He refers to the Vienna model. He's had interviews about this before he was running. But his goal is to create socialized housing. The way to do it is to take over these buildings. The only way the government can take over these buildings is by destroying the valuation.
Wow.
So that's why I say it's communist and absolute Marxist rhetoric.
And anything that we could do to stop it is going to work in everyone's behalf, not Democrats or Republicans. Republicans, God, Curtis Lee, we're still fighting it out. Adams in single digits. And Cuomo, still 20 points down. But people should understand exactly what we're buying into. Pierre DeBoss, thanks so much for your expertise. We'll look forward to talking to you along the way.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks for having me.
It's going to be a long sprint to November. You listen to the Brian Kilmeade Show.
Politics, current events, and news that affects you. Brian's got a lot more to say. Stay with Brian Kilmeade.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as a dollar a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Are you having trouble hearing? Hearing loss can devastate the quality of your life. Now, there's an affordable fix for you or your loved one. Rated the best hearing aids of 2025 by Forbes Health, Audion Hearing has the highest quality hearing aids at the lowest prices, starting at just $98 a pair.
I actually like them better than my old $5,000 hearing aids.
I could not believe how my hearing and life changed.
Join over 1 million happy customers by going to audionhearing.com. That's A-U-D-I-E-N hearing.com.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Billy, your gas light's on. We need to stop and fill up.
No way, Jen. Gas around here is too expensive. We can make it a little further.
Billy, listen to your big sister. You don't need to drive all over searching for the lowest gas prices. Do what I do and use Upside.
Upside?
Do you live under a rock, Billy? Upside is the hottest cashback app out there. It's free to download, and you get real cash back for every gallon of gas you buy. I use it all the time, and I've already made around $200.
You can make that kind of cash back just for buying the gas you have to buy anyway.
Yes, I'm looking at the Upside app now. now, and there's a gas station at the next exit offering 25 cents per gallon cash back.
Okay, I'm stopping to download Upside and fill up my tank. Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code LOOT to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, to PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code LOOT for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code LOOT for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Fox News Audio presents My Son Jeffrey, the Dahmer Family Tapes. He was one of America's most notorious serial killers. Now, never-before-heard family recordings offer new insight into the mind of Jeffrey Dahmer.
This next conversation is between Jeff and I.
My Son Jeffrey, the Dahmer Family Tapes podcast.
Absolutely nothing is too great not to be forgiven. Right.
Listen and follow now at foxtruecrime.com. Every weekday, it's your go-to source for staying informed and entertained. The Fox News Primetime Highlights Podcast, offering a curated selection of the most impactful moments of the Ingram Engel, Jesse Waters Primetime, Hannity, and Gutfeld. Listen and follow now so you never miss a moment of the action-packed highlights from these must-watch Fox News Channel shows. Go to foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. America is listening to Fox News. Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com. Connect to Fox News Audio on the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Failla, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now.
You want truth, you demand. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
I haven't read the former vice president's book, and she's going to have to answer to how she was in the room and yet never said anything publicly. I was very vocal with him privately and extremely vocal with his staff about my concerns about his fitness to be able to run for another term.
But see, Governor Shapiro should have said fitness to actually run the country, because if you really were speaking up about four more years, you had to be concerned about the current year. That is Governor Shapiro talking to Stephen A. Smith. And when he was asked about how would come out, what you think about Kamala Harris coming out in a book and saying that when you interviewed to be the vice president, she thought you were too ambitious and asked for too many things, and he thought that was ridiculous. Pete Buttigieg came out and said, was forced to comment on the fact that she wanted to choose him, but she didn't think America would elect a woman, a black woman with a Jewish husband and a gay man. Thank you. Appreciate how little you think of America. So I thought it was pretty terrible, personally. Let's go out to Ben in Texas. I don't know if this is helping her politically either. Ben, what's on your mind?
Hey, Brian, listen. You mentioned earlier, one of your guests, about the death of Charlie Kirk being, you said, what a waste. And I would just like to beg to differ on that, if you would. I know it sounds kind of crass, but if nothing else, his death has created such a multitude of an awakening in this country as to who he was and to what he stood for. I knew Charlie Kirk just by looking at the different reels on it, but there are people who had not even heard of him, and now all of a sudden, bingo, look what's happened. And we just by the testimony that I think there's like been over 37,000 applications on college campuses for Turning Point USA. I mean, this is a phenomenal increase on just who he stood for and what he was all about.
What a great mindset, Ben. You're right. That is a great mindset. If you're going to die, you'd love that to be how you remembered with action and change and clips rolling of you and 70,000 people showing up to give tribute to you. But he would have done a lot more alive. I mean, literally, I said it to him on the show, and you'll hear it this weekend, Sunday at 10. After listening to him going back and forth, I'm like, Charlie, you're going to run for president one day. And then the president came out and said that he told him that, too, directly. He just understood the issues, understood the people. And I'm not sure if that was one of his ambitions. And then I hear how diverse he was in terms of what he was investing in terms of real estate. So the guy understood business on top of that. Not bad for not going to college.
The guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Cunahan, president of Leaf Filter, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody. Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/deal to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/deal for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family-owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
The Ramsey Show.
You actually can help people, and you don't help them by giving them a government program. You help them by showing them the way out. People love me enough to put their arm around me and show me a different way. I didn't figure it all out in my own head. So there's a power to hope. That's not some kind of false panacea positive thinking way. It works. You can't positive think your way into everything, but you can't negative think your way into anything.
Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.